Okay, you ready, Judy?
Ready.
Great. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Tahoe Transportation District Board meeting. We're here today at the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency's boardroom. The date is August 4th, 2021, and the time is 2:02 p.m. In accordance with the latest CDC guidance and the emergency directive issued by the Governor of Nevada, masks are required for all individuals attending this meeting. In order to hear everyone clearly while wearing masks today, we will be using the microphone system. We also have some board members attending via the conference phone. So Judy, will you start us off with a roll call?
Yes. Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Ms. Bagwell?
Here.
Mr. Bass? Mr. Bigley?
Here.
Mr. Bruce?
Here.
Mr. Chapman? Ms. Collins?
Here.
Mr. Davis?
Here.
Ms. Howes?
Here.
Ms. Hill?
Here.
Ms. Novosel? Mr. Rice? Ms. Rosenberg? Mr. Fong?
Here.
And we do have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Okay. So the next item is approval of today's agenda. And Judy shares with me that she forgot to change some dates, which I didn't see. Judy, do you want to review those on items B and C? Is that right?
Yes, under item 1B, the agenda date should be today's date, August 4th. And item 1C, the minutes date should be July 23rd.
Did everybody get that on the phone? Okay.
Yep. Cindy, I have a question. This is Sherry.
Yes,
by
Sherry.
And I don't know if this is a trend or two, and I could do it at the very end when we have board comments too, but I noticed on the agenda that there wasn't an addition of talking about the district manager's performance review. And since that's been discussed a few meetings back, I was just curious what the intentions for that might be for the future. Like, are we readdressing it at some set meeting?
I've been working with Kaylin on that issue, completing the facilitated session. So that's where I was hoping to do it, but I will take direction from the board if you want to agendize it ahead of completing the facilitated session.
No, that works for me. I think I just was curious where that was falling in.
Right. I know that Darcy and Sue and I have been working on objectives, and Carl has a task from us to rewrite some objectives. So that was our hope, to get through our facilitated sessions and get consensus on our direction so that those objectives and the goals for next year are tied to what we've all agreed to through the facilitation. Thank you for that, Sherry, and if that's okay, we'll follow that protocol. And then as far as today's agenda goes, I did suggest earlier that our consultants with the Regional Government Services team are here now. And I was going to suggest that when we get to it, we move item 3B ahead of item 3A so they can be done. They were in interviews all day and haven't had a break for lunch. So if that's okay with everyone, we would move 3B ahead of our discussion on 3A. So I'll suggest that.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the agenda
meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay, we'll do a roll call vote then, Judy.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Bagwell?
Yes.
Mr. Bigley?
Yes.
Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Ms. Collins?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Ms. Howe?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Wright?
Abstain.
And that motion carries, Madam Chair.
Thank you. So we'll move on now to item 1C, which is approval of the minutes for July 23rd. Are there any changes to the minutes? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
I move approval of the minutes of July 23rd, 2021 as submitted.
Do I have a second? Okay, we have a second. We'll do a roll call vote on this as well.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Bagwell?
Yes.
Mr. Bigley?
I'll abstain since I wasn't here last month.
Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Ms. Collins?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Ms. Howe?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Rice?
Yes.
That motion carries also, Madam Chair.
Great. Thank you all very much. And now we'll move to item two on our agenda, public interest comments. At this time, members of the public have the opportunity to directly address the board. All comments are to be limited to no more than 3 minutes per person. And the board is prohibited by law from taking immediate action on discussing issues raised by the public that are not listed on today's agenda. In addition, members of the public shall have the opportunity to directly address the board after each item on which action may be taken is discussed by the public body, but before the public body takes action on the item. So with that, we have received a number of emails. I know we received, again, Judy, an email from you today with a number of public comments again today, but we can open it up to see if there's any other public comments.
I didn't send any public comments today.
I
did
that
report.
Just, Friday?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Friday. Okay. Are there any members of the public who would like to address the board? So you're not seeing any. Is there anyone on the phone or online, Judy?
No one.
Okay. With that, we'll conclude item number two, public interest comments. And Sue, what we had agreed to do in West is move item 3B ahead of item 3A because the consultant team was already here and concluded their interviews. And we'd like to let them get going home and we can take more time on this 3A to discuss.
That's a better
idea.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. So, Carl, I'll turn it over to you for this item.
Thank you. Yes, I'd like to introduce Josh and Bob from the RGS team. This is the group that is under contract with TRPA, who's here to help with the facilitation of this board as well as the committee on TRPA, and arriving at consensus about where is the region going when it comes to establishing revenue sources for transportation. So they're here today to introduce themselves, give you an update on their schedule, because this work plan that has been in place since the beginning of the calendar year clearly has slipped some with dates, and they're an important part of the composition of the team to come forward here to help us arrive at conclusions and help you arrive at conclusions. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Josh and have him introduce Bob over there and answering questions that you might have afterwards.
Thank you, Carl. Members of the board, nice to be here. I was able to join the EIP committee remotely last week, and so had a chance to interact with some of you there. But my name is Josh Metz, and I represent Regional Government Services. Hi, Darcy. Nice to see you from grad school days. That's Santa Barbara. And Bob Spencer is here as part of our team. We've been doing a series of conversational interviews beginning today and continuing tomorrow and into next week with many of you, and I expect that we'll have the chance to have a number of conversations. We understand that there's been a lot of work done on this topic of regional transit and funding regional transit here. I was remarking at some point about when I got my ski shop job up at the Village Ski Loft in 1988. I guess that's when Cindy first convened her architectural review group for the Resort Triangle Transit Program, and things have been kind of underway ever since. When we first got this job, I said, well, hasn't this been handled already? So tough problems are hard to solve, and so we're hoping that our group can take the work that's already been done and work with you all and your staff to move the ball to get a consensus between this board, the EIP committee, TRPA board, and deliver some key policy recommendations that will help actually get a funding mechanism in place. So this is our team that's up on the screen here. I'm the project manager. Regional Government Services is a joint powers authority that serves local government, special districts, statewide. And so we have expertise in regional planning and transportation and economics and a wide assortment of other municipal needs. And the team that we have put together has deep experience in those topics and working with complex regional government in particular. I served the Fort Ord Reuse Authority up until June of last year, which, if anyone's familiar, it's in the Monterey Bay region, and it's one of the few regional government structures very similar to TRPA that was set up to handle the reuse of Fort Ord over a 26-year period. So we have a work plan that we've developed in concert with the staff here, which is shown on the screen. We understand that there's some key drivers of the need for us to be back in this mix, and in particular, meeting the SCR8 from the Nevada legislature for the fall is a key target. We really hope to review and refine existing material that was developed in prior efforts and validate or bring forward more data that folks might want to see in terms of how recommendations were arrived at to help everyone feel good about making some really hard and yet important decisions. So, Bob, I don't know if you want to step up here and talk a little bit more about some of these key points. I mentioned SCR8, but you can talk to you a little bit more about the others.
So, Bob Spencer, I've been sole practitioner for the last 10 years with my firm, Urban Economics. I've got 30 years of professional consulting work with local, regional entities around transportation, mostly around California. Done some work in Reno, Washoe County, have some experience in Nevada. But all my work has been centered around helping local agencies figure out how to pay for public facilities, and in particular, transportation, which is a major local responsibility, has been a big part of that. And my work has included some fairly significant multi-jurisdictional efforts, as this one is. And just as Josh has experience with some complicated multi-jurisdictional entities, such as the Fort Ord Reuse Authority, I've worked with all 88 cities in L.A. County to try and get consensus on a regional transportation plan. Worked with a number of other counties around the state on these multi-jurisdictional transportation funding plan. So I do feel like this is very much a sweet spot of mine. And I'm really looking forward to working with your board, with the TRPA board, to come up with a consensus that can move the region forward. So why are we moving forward? Up on the screen, you can see we got three major drivers. We got SCRA, Nevada legislatures looking for the region to come forward with some ideas on funding. We have a VMT per capita standard. TRPA is adopted that requires a new revenue source by fall of 2023. And we have the regional transportation plan revenue requirements, where there's a $20 million annual funding gap that we need to fill. So there's some very clear requirements that need to be addressed here in the short term, and that's what we're here to help you do. We're starting out by reviewing the work done to date and doing a comprehensive look at all the sources that might be available to you for a regional source, and I want to distinguish regional from local, because local agencies in the area are still going to have to, you know, pitch in their fair share of this, as well as the state and federal level. So it's all four, and we're trying to plug that regional gap. We're looking at what mountain resort communities are doing around the country, and we're looking at what other major metropolitan areas are doing, because they tend to be a bit more on the forefront of accessing new regional funding sources. So we'll be pulling all that together. We're basically trying to pull together the information that you need to make a sound policy decision to move forward. So we want to very much listen to you and get comments back from you on what you will need from us. The policy objectives we're going to be polling, surveying members on come under two topics, you know, funding options, what sort of objectives should we look at when we're looking at funding sources, like equity between residents and visitors, equity between, you know, commuters and residents, maybe equity, you know, among income levels. You know, equity is a big issue. Issues of business impact, of economic efficiency. You know, these are all policy objectives that we could look at in designing a funding package to meet your needs. So we'll be surveying you on that. We'll be surveying all board members on governance and administration objectives. You know, where should, how should technical advisory committees be included? Do we need to create a new agency? Do we have the agencies we need to implement these plans? So those governance, you know, who should decide the governance level on expenditure of these funds? We'll be polling you guys on that to try and see where, you know, where there's overlap, consensus, interest, in answering those questions. So really looking forward to working with you. The process there, Josh had up on an earlier slide. We're just in the information gathering stage here, and then we'll start in September. We'll start putting together some funding package, some options, trying to build that consensus, work on the governance and administration piece, and try and get this done by the end of the year. Get a report out to the Nevada legislature, and then, you know, that'll go to a parallel track on the California side, get the two states on the same page, and ideally that will bring the enabling authority back to your boards to act on a regional revenue source. So that's it. I think ready to take comments, questions. Josh, you got anything else you want to ask?
I think that's about covers it. We're really here just to introduce ourselves, and you'll be hearing from us, and we hope to have a chance to talk with you. We know there is a wide range of opinions and views on this, but I think maybe certainly want to encourage comments and questions from you, but if I might, I'd just ask one of you while we're standing here, which may be a show of hands on the question of, do we think there is a regional transportation problem here that needs to be solved? So this is a good way to get started, so I'm seeing pretty much consensus on that, so that's a great starting place. And, you know, from that, then we can come into the discussion, and, you know, it's an interesting challenge. It is a challenge, but it's also, there's some great possible futures there. You know, I have ridden on that new bike trail, for example, on the East Shore. That's pretty amazing. Some of those pull-offs off the highway where people can get off the highway and quickly stand there and look at the lake. If there are more facilities like that, you know, maybe the visitor experience and the local experience would be made more enjoyable. So those are kind of the outcomes that I think we're looking for, but definitely welcome any questions or comments you all might have for us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and really appreciate you being here and with us in person today, so thank you. Board members, do we have questions or comments? Darcy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am really looking forward to this conversation, and I'm happy to be working with you again, Josh. Good to see you up here in Tahoe. I know Tahoe is near and dear to you. I, as many of the other board members sitting here, have partaken in numerous starts and stops of this effort to find funding sources and funding solutions for our transportation needs. But one of the things that I've noticed in all of these different efforts is we're pulling from the same pool of solutions. So we're just kind of spinning our wheels with not novel ideas. So I'm really excited to expand our local knowledge and the things that we've been trying to push that may haven't really been successful in getting across the finish line. So just one thing to think about when you're going through this process is we're very open to innovative solutions, things that have been used elsewhere. Also, trying new things here. Tahoe is always a model for different ways of protecting our environment, so we could be the guinea pig for something that might be really innovative. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you. We have heard that loud and clear from the beginning of this effort, so, you know, key part of our conversations and engagement with you will be to draw out suggestions you might have or have seen elsewhere. We have a global perspective and a broad network of other professionals that we draw on to inform any recommendations that we would bring. One thing I think, though, that's, you know, important to understand with regards to transportation funding is, you know, especially at the scale of funding that we're talking about, you know, Bob mentioned $20 million, but I'm reminded every time that really that's the lowest number that we need to hit. And really, if you look at the regional transportation plan, it's more like $60 million a year to accomplish some of those big vision projects. And, you know, as we know, capital costs continually increase. Now, that said, so there's a limited set of legal funding mechanisms that have the fungibility, have the various criteria that are needed that can yield that kind of dollar, those kinds of funds. So that may be, Darcy, part of the reason why you see a small set, but I'm a creative, I love new ideas. I know transportation technologies are continuing to evolve and our ability to manage information is getting better. So the combination of things there could yield some new possibilities, and they all have to be vetted against. I mean, I'm referencing Bob over here because he's our economist. You know, I can be a little bit more on the dreamer side, and he kind of helps kind of bring us down to, hey, what about the numbers, you know? So, I hear you, Darcy, and I look forward to working with you on that and all of that.
Thank you. You know, I should go Alexis, Sherry, and Alex and ask if you have any questions, because I know it's hard to jump in when you're on the phone.
Madam Chair, this is Alexis. I just, it's kind of a question. I was just hoping that we are going to be using the data that we have, like the visitor profiles that we have, to make these decisions as well, so we all understand the impacts that are being made related to who's making them. I think that we have that data, and I just want to make sure that it's going to be utilized in part of this.
Indeed. We know Carl and Nick here have been very gracious in offering up all kinds of data, which we will, you know, refine and bring to consumable bits that we can report out and work with you in the process here. Definitely need the data to inform assumptions and to kind of help ground out, you know, the choices. One thing in my experience of working with large, diverse boards is the more we can have those kind of refined, consumable pieces of information that are data-driven, the more it can get to a rational kind of discussion and hopefully lead to better outcomes. So definitely want to take advantage of what you have already.
Great. Alexis or Sherry or Alex, any other questions? make sure I give you the chance, because it's hard when you're on the phone calling into these meetings.
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Kyle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This probably isn't a question for the team here. It seems like they're definitely excited to see this, and it seems like you guys have a lot of good experience that should be helpful in terms of us trying to figure this out. I know that mine's more of a process question for this board. It's just that I know that we've been really busy with these facilitated sessions this summer, but it feels like a lot of stuff has moved forward on this project, and you can see that in the questions that were provided from us from district managers up there last month. So I'm just really hopeful that we can, at some time relatively soon, you know, at least get a better idea of what's going on here, what are kind of the next steps, and what the various roles are between TRPA and TTD as this moves forward. Just as an example, obviously this is a contract that was undertaken by TRPA, but there is mention in the report about TTD awaiting funding, and then, you know, if we get that funding, I'm curious where that goes and how that works and what the board's involvement is going to be with this, because this is obviously a really important issue.
Great. Carl, did you want to address that question?
I could, because I wanted to speak to that anyway, so thank you for bringing that up. To remind the board that we were having this as a standing item through April, and then when we shifted into what we're doing right now, that has fallen off. Also, a lot of work went on through that contracting aspect to get this team on board and to be in the position today, actually, from that time, just the procurement process. Now that we've arrived here and with this introduction again, it's time to put it back on the standing TTD agenda, because as was noted in that simple graphic there with the work program of the months, every month need to be talking about that, and this group working with you all as well as the TRPA side. So for those of you who also sit on the TRPA committee, you're going to get a kind of two bites there at it. So you will be. That's part of what I wanted to discuss today, even with the next month. There's a number of things that kind of stacked up, so we do have to start getting that work back on this agenda in order to work through it with you all and on this and other items.
And I just want to be clear. That's talking about the regional revenue test. Is that what you're... Okay.
The regional revenue. Correct.
Right. Okay. Any other questions or comments by board members? Sue, yeah.
Thank you for the presentation. And I'll just echo again what I echo at a TRPA meeting, being that I'm on the governing board there also, is I just want to make sure that we do have a process in place that's very clear, and that we have collaboration between the boards of both of these entities, because that's important to all of our staff. It's really good at collaborating, but sometimes we get lost in the translation of being able to understand what one board's doing with the other. So as we go through this, we just want to make sure that collaboration is very clear, and then all these steps are clear on both boards and who's doing what. That's always interesting to see. Thank you.
Not just one board, but two.
Right.
Two states, four counties, two cities, or one city.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good times.
Five counties.
Okay.
Lots of
boards
and lots of. That's why it's so important. Communication. Thank you. Great. Yes,
Cody. So my question somewhat follows that in the sense of, you know, with the One Tahoe effort, and I think with any regional funding effort, we have these five counties in one city, and the boards that we all need to go back and get approval from, and as it's as much of our responsibility to talk to all of our board members, in a certain sense, that also breaks the Brown Act if we have it agendized on our board. So are you guys going to help us engage each one of these regional cities, you know, board of supervisors, when we get there to really get that approval? Because I think that's what we ran up against with One Tahoe. Mm. Like, how are we ever going to get Douglas County's approval or Placer County down in, you know, Auburn or wherever it is? And I think that's a big, going to be a big part of getting a regional funding source is getting each respective board on board. Mm. Beyond this boardroom, like, it's all Yeah, so is that part of what you guys can help? I know you said 88 cities in LA County. I can only imagine.
Well, it's my understanding at this very early point in the process is that the actions that need to be taken will be taken by the TRPA board and the TTT board in adopting a report which we would author that would go to the two legislatures to seek enabling legislation for a regional revenue option. Now, that regional revenue option or options, multiple, may require a local action as well, like a all counties, or it may not. So it's I'd say it's not clear at this stage whether the local agencies around the basin will need to take formal action. If you would like help in going to them for information, to let them know, to do an individual briefing, to bring them up to speed, of course, happy to do that. So we're happy to support you in any way that you would like us to.
I think that's great. I mean, I do think that's going to be necessary, even if it's not formally. I think that there was always, last time at least with the Nevada legislature, you know, if, for instance, Douglas County is not on board, the legislature wasn't willing to look at a toll coming into Nevada or to Lake Tahoe. So I think that we have to realize that it is going to be something required, and that help, I think, will be great if it, I think it's going to be necessary to get the approval or, you know, to get where we need to go.
Okay. Appreciate that.
I thought Douglas County West is going to take care of that.
Yes. Trust me, if I ask for the entry fee into Lake Tahoe, they'll take care of West.
Yeah, so one thing that we have benefited from is a lot of information coming in from the prior efforts and the staff, and they've really helped brief us up on some of the dynamics. You know, we're hoping that we can navigate, the individually, kind of like you're saying there, you know, communicating with different bodies, perhaps not for formal authorizations, but to bring people along to, so that they can, there can be, a building up of support kind of from the ground level, you know, and it's not a simple problem. It would have been solved before, but I think, you know, there are, from what we've heard so far, what I'm hearing, it seems to be that there are ways that it can be positioned to address local pain points sufficient to get a consensus enough to move ahead. I mean, I think the EIP program is a great example of that to build from, that was done in the past. And, you know, Tahoe is unique, and TRPA has been a leader for decades, so hopefully that can
you. Yeah, I think, are there any other comments? I was going to make one, but questions or comments?
I have one other quick
one. Okay, go ahead.
If we can't find a consensus between the two states, what's the option? I could see where there may not be a consensus here. We know there isn't one right now. Are you as a consultant going to be working on that, if there isn't, what we could do? Separately?
Yeah, so I mean, I think our focus is to try to get the group along. And I think to your point, you know, if we get down the road and there is no path, then we would kind of cross that bridge when we come to it. In coming into this problem, I started asking, I think, a similar question to you. Is it possible to begin and demonstrate its effect in one area and grow it out to the others, and while conceptually that has some appeal, the application, it becomes very problematic. Once something's rolling, it's more difficult to build it out to a regional level. And I think the authorities in particular that through Article 9 that the TTD has makes it in a unique position to be the vehicle to work with. So we would encourage as much as possible that we do the hard work to find a consensus path.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, it's a broad pilot program, whatever you want to call it. It's just a small start, which I think we should explore as we get to that point. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to emphasize that every regional transportation plan I've worked on of any magnitude, certainly facing the challenges you face in the Tahoe Basin, has had a regional funding source that has been regional. And it's been adopted and imposed. The revenue is generated region-wide. Now, there may be lots of nuances among different jurisdictions and return to source issues and, you know, lots of details to be worked out. But the plan B that you raised to me doesn't seem very pretty. It'd be jurisdictions going back to funding their own projects, as you are, you know, trying to come up with the money for their own projects to complement what little state and federal money comes in through the RTP. So some minor progress can be made, you know, as the North Shore has shown with DOT taxes and business improvement districts, et cetera. But that would end up with a very piecemeal solution to, you know, as Josh's straw poll at the start of our item indicating, everybody realizes we have a major regional problem. So we are not, to be frank, we're not tasked to help you solve four or five individual problems around the lake. We're here to come up with a regional funding solution as a piece of an overall package, you know, the RTP. And if that looks like it's too difficult to get, well, yeah, as Josh said, we'll regroup and figure out what's next.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever worked with two states. Is the issue, and that's our issue.
Yes, no, I understand.
And what I was suggesting is one state doing this, both states can agree, not locally, but regionally.
Well, that's interesting. That's a good point. So a two-state solution, okay. Maybe that's a plan B, yeah.
Okay.
I thought they're still working on that one in the Middle East, though.
Yeah, it's been a few years. Well, you know, I was... Were there any other comments or questions? I was just going to say, I think it's so imperative that all of us have buy-in to working diligently with our jurisdictions and finding win-wins, right? I see it as if the Tahoe portion of my district can fund itself better, that's less drain on my 90% of my district that are out of the Tahoe Basin, right? And so there's a win-win for my jurisdiction if we can come up with the right answers here. And that's a reason for us all to try to come together. First off, that we want to find regional solutions. And secondly, it could be a win-win if it's framed right, if it's put together right, and we can benefit folks on the other side of Douglas County with what is needed in this side of Douglas County, or Placer, or Washoe, or El Dorado, or the cities. So, you know, I'm the Pollyanna, glasses half full, but you've got to be if you're ever going to get solutions. So I really appreciate your leadership and your experience to help us get to that point and work with our state. Hopefully we bring another sense of credibility to both reexamining data that we've seen before, validating it or invalidating it, and getting us moving forward so that we can come to consensus. I think if everybody around this table and around TRPA governing board table have come together with a solution, hopefully it's a win-win for everybody on both tables, and we can convince both states it's worth an effort, worth a try. So.
Thank you, Supervisor. I would just tee off of that to bring up reprise the message that we talked about earlier, which is, you know, we are a consultant team. You've had a number of consultant teams through the doors here over the years on this particular topic. And really, you know, what is going to be necessary to actually move the ball, what would be the leadership that you all represent of your constituents and your interest in transportation and being involved in this committee on this board to be the champions of a solution that we come up with. So we're going to be doing our work as professionals to bring good information and clarify questions, and then we're going to, you know, work with the staff that you already have, you know, very competent professionals there, and then yourselves to help get the message to folks that this is the right way forward and will create, you know, the bright future that we want for our families and all of that. So that's, I think, the closing message from us. There's a smile behind you.
I know, we need to have them on our back. Great. Any other comments or questions? Well, Wes, go ahead.
I've been with this group now for 2.5 years, and I've a very good idea of where I would like to see us go, and we have all come to agreement on many of the things that we would like. The bugaboo is paying for it.
Yeah.
Right. That has been the problem from the start. Some of the jurisdictions, I'll admit it, I'm from a county that's a type one. We pass no tax for anything. If you wanted to tax oxygen, they would start breathing helium. You know, it's just it's one of those things that in Douglas County, we can't even get a tax passed to tax diesel fuel. Mm. That has no tax in our county at all, and gasoline does. So that's part of the problem that I'm dealing with, and that's the onus is on me. But trying to fit this jigsaw puzzle together has been the bugaboo. We have great brains working on this. We have great suggestions, regional transportation plan, mobility hubs, trails, parks. It's a grand scheme. But the bugaboo is how in the hell are we going to pay for it? And that's been the problem since I jumped on board this thing. So, good luck, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I was trying to end us on a positive.
I didn't mean to shoot Pollyanna.
Yeah, I know, but that is definitely the challenge that we face and why we're still here talking about it and why you've been brought in. So thank you. Any public comments on this item? Not seeing any here. Okay.
Right.
Again.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
See you next month.
Oh, we're here tomorrow.
Okay. So now we'll move on to item 3A for possible action. Approve creation of a deputy district manager position in salary class. Conversion of a part-time account clerk 1 to full-time account clerk 2 position, and change of current budget year assistant transit planner slash analyst position to a transit planner slash analyst position. So Carl, you are up on this one.
Thank you. You'll find this on page 130 of your packet. And I'd also like to introduce, to make you aware, for those of you who may not have met her, Joni Schmidt is over here, is our CFO, so if she may assist me on any questions relevant to the budget. She certainly will be talking when we get to our session here with some of the spreadsheets and the like, so I want to make you aware of that. I know this board, as have other boards, been interested in having this position as far as the deputy goes. So we'll get to that. What I would like to do is speak to the other two, first of all, just so we kind of get that out of the way. Starting with the last, relevant to the assistant transit planner, with some of the things that we've got going on, what was approved in the budget was the assistant planner position, which the staff did advertise, fly, got two prospective interest, and did interviews, made an offer to one individual who definitely was experienced in the right ways and was interested. As soon as his employer learned that he was being solicited, we got outbid, number one, and we still had an opportunity perhaps, but the housing situation here, once he investigated that, both up at Tahoe as well as off the hill even, was like, all right, I'm staying where I am. So we know that if we're going to have this position filled, we need to change it. So this is a change in terms of what was in the budget that you all approved for at the beginning of July. And basically the experience level here, as well as the pay grade, is what's different. So you're dropping the word assistant, but you're picking up responsibilities. Expected to be a lot more capable than just an assistant transit planner there. So that's the one position there. The other one, changing with the clerk, we've had a half-time, which reports to Judy. I'm looking to change that, because the idea here is if we are going to free up time of the district manager, then it's really also about freeing up Judy's time. Because Judy, while her title's clerk to the board and executive assistant, she's assistant to everyone. And this is where this half-time slot would help alleviate or free up to half of her time to make that available for doing the kind of work that we're doing here today and continue to do in what I think looks like where we're going with a board of this size. So that's the other request in this. And then that gets to the deputy district manager position, which does not exist in our structure. And there is an attached a proposed job description and salary table with looking at the class related to that role responsibility. We did between HR manager, DD Espero, myself, did some looking into other candidate organizations in order to look at the salary scale as well as description, and applying it to our own situation here are relevant to that. The impacts of that, or the ways of paying for that then, are the most important. What we've talked about with the other two positions largely will be covered by our funds that are related to transit and related to capital projects. When it comes to freeing up Judy's time or the district manager's time, my time, that changes there. This then is more shifts more to the general fund. And in that regard, then what it means is we're going to tap our reserve to start to do this. So right now, in talking with Joni, our belief is that what's proposed here in the fiscal analysis of a little over $200,000 in addition, we're going to be looking at everything we can to ameliorate that and finding other funds. So pertinent to one of the questions you had, Kyle, about the agreements for the regional revenue. All right, that is one way, and it's one of the reasons that a lot of my time right now that I'm spending on that is being charged against the general fund, because we have no other way of reimbursing that time. So pursuing dollars that can support that to help keep this cost down. We've tried to structure this so that the deputy role would be, you know, closer to a 60-40 kind of range. There's still going to be general fund, because there's still going to be responsibilities and related to things even like regional revenue. There's a role there with that. Or other activities that are unreimbursable when it comes to either some of the transit operations, or, you know, you're working on your capital improvement program, but it's not related necessarily to a project that has very specific funds. The individual we're looking for here, though, would have the ability to also be very involved with that kind of operations, a lot of what I'm doing right now with about half of my time, which starts freeing that up. And so then those costs get covered by those charges for those hours that are spent on that. So that's the way this is structured in this proposal. And I think that kind of covers the scheme here, the idea. So that with your approval, then we would act on all of these positions. So that's what's here for discussion today. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. And I will entertain any questions or comments. Yes, Sue.
Thank you. I'm a little confused by you bringing this to us, Franklin, today, because I know we were going over all this, and I thought it was as part of our process of what we were learning by doing a funding map, by organizing all this, that this is going to be down the line. Yes, we do want some change. We do need a deputy. But we need to figure out how to fund that deputy. And a part of that funding needs to be the board not being able to analyze where the funds are. We haven't had that conversation yet, so I'm a little confused. I think it's a little early, number one. And secondly, just quick process. Rather than using names, I'd appreciate it if you just use a title.
Okay.
when we talk about employees. Just something that we do in my government, so that it's not first line. This is talking truly about positions. So start that. But I just try to understand. I agree, we need this. But that was a part of our going through this process and coming back was to get that funding map and be able to understand where all this is.
Understand. And I guess one, I'm looking to be responsive, and two, we're feeling the load.
Yeah.
And so that's the other aspect of this, and I don't know how long that's going to take with the outcome of that. So that is probably a good part of this, is both of that, being responsive and feeling the load.
Yeah, I understand. I think we all, I think that's why the board is having this conversation. But I think it is a premature, and we haven't been able to figure out. We need this. Sit here and be able to understand where the funding's coming from. When you're talking about taking things out of reserve to pay for anything other than one-time funding, I have an issue with that. So that's a big giant red flag for, and should be for the board.
Understand.
Right.
Fair.
Okay.
Right. And in our discussions, I know that we had looked at that reserve as, you know, charging Carl with, we need to have adequate staff to do these new projects and to move things forward. And when he suggested that he was putting on today's agenda, I neglected to go over the agenda timing with you as to going through our mapping session first, because I think that would be helpful, because you did go through the reserve with us and the discussion of the only place a deputy comes from is new funding or spending down the reserves in anticipation to work on getting new funding, right? And so it's kind of that chicken or the egg that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So I shoulder some of this responsibility that I should have asked that we do the mapping first, because I do think that was quite a bit of our discussion last meeting, and I neglected to go over that.
Again, I don't mean to downplay this, because we all agree we need to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, great comments, and we can talk about how we would finish that up. Other comments or questions from the board? Yes, Lori.
So, I just want to echo something that Sue just brought up, and I want to start with the package itself, provides the information on what we want to do and why we want to do it. I'm hoping when we get, so I already looked at the personnel fund map, thank you, what I want to see us do in the future, and that's why I really want to start driving fund mapping, is you would then have this neat one that you have on page 5 for the personnel. I would have seen existing budgeted map, and then you would create one that gives me the new map that re-shows, because you're debiting and crediting your work hours, this person's work hours, you're adding in a new title. And so that's the purpose of a fund map, because sometimes when you read words, it's an item at a time and you can't see its accumulation, versus when you put it on a spreadsheet and you look at it and you go, yikes, we can't do it. And that would let me see, because nowhere in your package here where you say reserves for the utilizing, which is correct, but you don't give me that fiscal impact.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to last me 3 years, 4 years? Is this going to take
right.
my reserve to zero? Well,
right.
You haven't provided that data to give us a solid foundation, and that's where your fund mapping in the future, when you attach it, you'll be displaying that fiscal impact to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look at it and say, do we want to take a 3 year, we got 4 years for the deputy director to be
right.
able to generate the revenue to support giving us the position. Or, oh my gosh, this is only going to last 11 months. Right? And unless I missed it, when I read all through this, I did not see that analysis of how long is this going to last by taking the reserves. But thank you. You got the $4 million, and I picked and tied this. So you got the personnel piece going
yes.
in the right direction for me, and then we'll just marry it to this for the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think you're on the correct track, and you're, thank you, I'm assuming it was all your good work.
My controller put a lot of it together.
Thank you. But just again, the final step is, here's the before, here's what it'll look like if we take this action, and then what's the impact to the reserve? Because it's...
Understand.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that would make perfect sense.
I just don't think I'm quite ready. We're not having the budget finance meeting, but I don't have enough data to make a sound decision.
No, I understand what you're saying, and yeah.
But the work is good that you could just transfer to when we're ready to go.
Well, and perhaps maybe the better discussion than here today is to focus on the job descriptions and the tasks in general, with direction to staff of what they would bring back in that concept, because I think that's important for us as well. I don't want to have them go through the fiscal impact and then we come back and talk about the job. So we do have the job description for the deputy here, and for the board, why don't we focus on that right now, on the descriptions of the
job. Madam Chair, I have a question on the job description.
Okay, go ahead, Alexis. And then there's a couple hands here too, Alexis. So. Go ahead. Alexis, you're breaking up. Alexis, can you hear us? Alexis, we're having a tough time hearing you. I'm going to go to Darcy next, and then we'll see if we can get you on a better signal here. Darcy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My comment, I hope, complements with Mayor Bagwell and Sue brought up, but it might be kind of a counter to it. I think what would be helpful, especially since I know in informal as well as formal setting conversations, Carl, this position was recommended to you to explore and that it was needed, and I know that this was something you've been directed to look into, and I feel very strongly it's a good direction to go to. And because resources are limited, this is a great opportunity to look at your current staffing structure and where there might be redundancies in both job responsibilities and expertise, since this is a priority set of skills to bring on to implement the work plan that we're going to be agreeing upon over the next couple of work sessions. That could be a supplemental exercise you could bring back. I mean, we don't have to see the details, but areas where you can shift around resources on staff to provide a couple years worth of resources for this position, if that's necessary, just to complement the exercise on funding and impact an additional team member may have. Adding what they're responsible for, and if there might be opportunities to combine while you're growing your revenue for long-term, just short-term analysis with a long-term goal.
I know, speaking, having been in Carl's seat in my previous organization, I know that's hard to make sure the board finds credibility with each and everybody's job duties, their time that they're spending, and can it be reallocated. You would have to, I think if I were in his seat, you'd have to be looking at cutting or changing job duties. It would not be continuing the same level of service in this area and taking on this.
Correct.
So that's what we'd have to see, I think is what Darcy's asking. What would you cut then? Is that right?
Correct. What you could cut are just where maybe they're streamlined. It's opportunity to just look at streamlining, efficiencies, and maybe there's things you don't even know that are redundant. So it's a good opportunity to really dig into what everyone's doing. And then I think
I'm going to follow up with a question because I want to make sure staff is really clear. Then how would you, what kind of data would you want to see to justify that?
Well,
that he's done that.
I think it'll be informed by the work plan, so it's something that might be, you haven't had to do it now because your work plan has been such, and then if your work plan changes, you can assess what your staff is doing and if there's going to be some shifting. And then I think for the board, just very high level, you can come back with some numbers I mean, we don't expect or want to get into the weeds with you and your staffing. That is 100% your responsibility and role.
So as it relates to the work plan. Okay. Good. That's because that makes it easier, I think, for a manager to equate the FTE for that work item. Kyle, I think you were next.
Yeah, thank you. And this, you know, goes back to the direction we were in, but it's just more of a kind of a maybe just putting a pin on it. We might cover it later today, in which case I'm good. But I think what will be helpful for me to understand the financial side of going through this would be a better understanding of our so-called general fund and reserves. Because I've also heard at times that TTD doesn't have a general fund at all. What I think I've been able to gather is that the general fund is essentially, you know, money we're able to take from other sources that is available for administrative work. But if the general fund is an ongoing thing to where there is money that comes into it and how that differs from a reserve, I'd like to better understand that before we make this decision.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Cody?
Yeah, so, you know, I a lot along the lines of what Darcy was saying about trying to understand our structure, essentially, and what the, you know, structure of all of our employees and workforce here is, so that we, as even a board, I mean, I don't want to micromanage at all or try to tell you what it is, but it is difficult to know exactly the kind of the structure of how we exist, and I do think that you're going to have to make cuts to be able to fill this position, but I also think it's a position that we need to fill in a major way, and I think we need to have goals behind it. I see a lot of redundancies in the job description I'm looking at, with your, you know, duties as a district manager, I would suspect, partly with the duties of the CFO, exactly why the district manager is now going to be responsible for overlooking budgets, certain things where there seem to be redundancies. So even seeing all the job descriptions that currently exist with the structure of TTD, I think would be helpful for you to make the decisions, because I do think cuts are going to have to happen, but I also agree that this is a very important thing that we need to make happen. So.
Yep, Lori.
I want to stress something that the fund map does for me, and maybe it doesn't for Darcy or for Cody. But I want to try and see if I can help focus a little bit so staff's not expending a whole bunch of more work to get nowhere. So the purpose of the fund map for me, and so if I look at this and say, what is funded by the general fund for positions, and that I concentrate to that area, I am not going to cut people that are paid for in the CIP and the transit. So you start focusing of where you can have an impact. And when I look at the position titles, which is what was important for me to understand, and I didn't have that before I could have a fund map, but to look here and really say, we already know we want more of Carl time doing other things. We already, I guess what I'm wondering, I'm not going to eliminate a CFO, a controller, a project coordinator, account. I'm not seeing movement in those positions unless I'm missing just, to me, the common sense organizational things you have to have, whether you're a city, a county. I'm not seeing it in here that there's a whole bunch of automatic duplication and opportunity to eliminate. So I just don't think I want them to spend a lot of energy in that arena. It's whether or not we have the money and want expanded services within that general fund activity. That's what I think we're trying to really talk about. We already, I thought, decided that our capacity of the positions were at their maximum. So if we already determined that, then what are we asking them to do? To go back and re-examine whether the positions are at their capacity for general fund activity?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, looking at it, I mean, you know, we have a lot of positions. I don't know, can you consolidate some of those job descriptions together, you know, and again, I don't know that. I'm not even trying to get into the weeds because it's not my place, but are there efficiencies that can be improved, and, you know, are we an organization that needs that much of a structure to exist within? You know, one of the things around, I've always said around bringing our transit funding into, like, for instance, a division of the city is because the city has the support of a finance department, of a city attorney's office, of all of these things that isn't going to be pulling from our transit funding. And frankly, that's why, in my opinion, Placer County gets a lot more bang for its mileship or ridership or whatever you want to call it, is because Placer County supports a lot of its transit funding to be purely towards transit. And again, when you start to have that discussion, you start to look at what is the structure that we actually need to operate this agency. You know, in my own business, for instance, I only need human resources 10 hours a week, so I outsource it, right? Those are the type of efficiencies and structures that I think we possibly need to have a full breakdown and look at.
Absolutely, and I think that we have to compare where we are today and that we need to continue to operate these operations until such time as we could turn it over to a larger organization. And you're absolutely right. That's the nature of business today. It's the nature of governments, consolidations, collaborations. That's where we're achieving those kinds of efficiencies. And so, you know, I agree with you, but I also want to make sure we stay on track because staff can spend a whole bunch of time going through what everybody does on a daily basis and bring it to us. And that is micromanagement. At some point, we have to say, you know, what are the services we would want to see cut? Are there cap? And that maybe is part of the next discussion. Are there projects that we're working on that we would cut today that would free up money? Right? I think is where you were getting to. Or, you know, the number of hours the CFO needs to spend on this organization given the budget, I think when you look at the overhead compared to the budget, looks okay to me, right? But again, you know, what level of credibility do we need to earn with all of our board members to look at every, you know, one of those positions? I just want to make sure we're getting somewhere through that exercise. Because again, it takes time and energy away from doing other things if we're going through all those. And I haven't done that on TRPA. I haven't done that on Placer County. And I try, you know, not to do it here. But if there's that lack of credibility, then how do we earn that back? And that's why we're going through the facilitations we're going through and the mapping exercise, I think, is tremendous. So. And let's just make sure we're really crisp on this and let's get a lot of discussion. I know, Alexis, are you back in? Because I know you had some questions.
I am back. Okay. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. On the job description, I just was hoping that the deputy would also do some internal work. Most of the job description is that they're helping with internal organizational things. And I have some concern that we're creating all these committees, and I expect the deputy will be the lead staff person on some of these committees. So I just feel like we need to flush that out. And then on the degree, it says business administration and PR, but it doesn't say public administration or political science, and I think that needs to be added. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Did you get those notes?
I think so.
On the degrees?
Yes.
Okay, and on the skills. Other comments? Darcy, yes.
Madam Chair, to close the loop on that last conversation, I do want to make sure we're not giving the staff undue burdensome work. If we're going to be presented with a decision of the board to add additional resources, I like to have options and then hear what the recommendation is from staff as to why that's the option. So if there is the preferred option is to add this position and then use the general fund, what are our other options? And that other option could be staff restructuring, and then that's where you make the case. But after looking at all of these staffing, there isn't redundancies. We need them all to run our projects. So I think that high-level recommendation is enough for me to see this make a good conscience decision. Just want to make sure that
I'm nodding here.
Everything.
Yes, go ahead, Tom.
Thank you. And just to quickly add on, and I think we're probably doing this through our facilitated session, so this is again something we might follow itself. But along with, you know, are there redundancies, but also are there things that we can stop doing in order to find it? Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think we'll be reviewing those projects today in our next session that Cody, you're reaching for your life.
Well, I was just wondering, then, is this not better to come later in a sense? Did we not go through those things to bring them back almost?
Well, I think the direction that we're giving staff is clear that outcomes of our later discussion will influence the options that they bring back that Darcy suggested. If, you know, and I'm looking for the rest of the board, are you comfortable with the direction we're headed? If you're not, if I'm not hearing from you, I'm assuming you are. How's that?
That we're tabling this item.
That we're tabling this item, we're giving direction to staff. Carl? Yes.
Just clarification, so I'm loud and clear on the deputy. The other positions as well, so especially the transit planner, that's the other one I want to ask about.
That's the one he's hiring right now?
That's the one he tried to hire.
We would have to re-advertise this position, right. And because the candidate turned us down. Okay. And so the idea here is not go out and do it again at the same level because it wasn't getting us anything. I believe the two pertinent positions are the deputy and then going from this part-time clerk to full-time clerk to Priya. You know, that is where there's not the level of comfort yet. Much of the discussion we're into is into the next item, which is dealing with this materials that are here. So I think that will help be enlightening to this. So that's what I wanted to clarify most specifically on the transit planner.
So in the funding map, the transit planner analyst is funded completely out of transit operations
for
that $95,000. And to Lori's point, she'd like to see the $20,000 that you're suggesting the additional cost would be added to that.
That is correct. Yes. To the
transit.
What was approved in the budget, the salary then is this is a $20,000 greater salary than what was approved in the budget.
And the $95,000 is the approved budget, $95,808.
It's the other way. 95,808, I believe, is what it ends up being with that 20,000 added to it.
Yeah,
it's the 70-some thousand, and that's fully loaded with the benefits.
And so it has no general fund. It's a single source transit billable to the transit, which we know has sufficient funding to cover that. So
that's correct.
Personally, since it's not going to impact any of the other discussions that we're having, and I'm okay with potentially us just reviewing the transit planner analyst request for the increase so they can get that accomplished and get that filled.
And I guess I have a question on this because you say it's coming out of transit. $20,000 more out of transit. What are we taking out in order to get that $20,000? Again, that mapping part that, you know, it's been paid by transit, but where is it coming from?
It would be an increase to the budget. So in other words, the grants would be asked to pay more or to cover these additional costs. And ultimately, if we have and we're projecting that we have funding for transit through fiscal year 25, well, $20,000 really bump it from $25,000. Really not so much, not the $20,000. If it was $200,000, then we may want to look at that per year.
So it is billable.
So it's billable, and therefore, but it's not going to be in a replacement of a different expense to even it out.
That's why I just want to make sure.
Yeah,
we have a closed loop on a lot of my other.
Exactly.
You don't get that option. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Billable.
Thank
you.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a map.
Yeah, we haven't heard
from you. Sorry, just to clarify, billable to who, just so I understand how that transit.
What ends up happening with personnel costs is that it really goes into two major buckets. And it's going to, again, this is going
to
be part of
the. Step up to the mic, just so the people on the phone can hear.
I don't know. Thank you, sorry. Officially, I'm Joni Schmidt. I'm CFO. What the question is as far as personnel costs go for transit, and really on the funding map, it will be a little bit more clearer as we go through that, but in a nutshell, expenses that come through are divided out between urban and rural, 5311 and 5307 funded. And that's based really on the allocation at this point right now on total miles. So what routes are for 5307, what routes are for 5311, you get a percentage. Then each month, the total personnel cost that we incur gets split amongst that percentage between the two different grants and whatever matching requirements may be needed per the grant.
Right now, we are getting total CARES, which requires no matching requirement. When CARES runs out, NDOT will require it. That's how we use TDA funds. TDA provides that match. And 5307 is still, I call it funny money, is cash with a toll credit. So it's not real dollars, and so the grant pays 100% of the loading, or the net and that piece of it. So does that make sense?
It does. So there are the FTA funds, but those grants are not currently capped because we're adding. So if we're providing, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is the dollar amount that comes into the basin from the FTA that's split between north and south tends to be a capped number each year.
Yes,
and then, you know, I'm probably talking about my pay grade here to understand these things, but if it's capped now for adding 20 on it, how do we get additional grants? Is it just because we're providing additional transit service? And is it the CARES Act is paying for it right now, which she helps in the next couple of years?
CARES and the American Recovery Act plan. However, for 5307, we do have multi-years on that grant. So it can roll over and does roll over between fiscal years.
Gotcha.
I think currently we are on CARES, but we have fiscal year 19 money left to invoice out when CARES runs out. So that's that one. A little bit different on the NDOT side. That's an annual application, so you make the request.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know what 5307 money is or TDA, so if you could just tell me about it.
Yes, okay, sorry. Federal Transit Administration, they kind of pull their buckets of money into two pools, urban and rural. So urban is the 5307, the rural is the 5311. So we here have routes that happen to run in both pops, right? We have stuff that goes up and over the hill and to Gardner Mill. And it was decided who benefits from the routes. And so those routes can benefit for the rural part. Those miles are based on a percentage of the total cost of the system, and that's how we allocate between the two. So that, and does that help you understand the FDA?
So that's the 5307, right?
5307 and 11, urban, rural.
Okay.
And transit operations.
You said TDA, I think.
TDA is a California program that is based on sales tax, and that's for Transit Development Act.
Transportation Development Act from 1971.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, so with the deputy district manager, when we look at that, how much is going to be coming out of transit? How much is general fund? My curiosity here is why we may wait to approve all these positions is because are there consolidations, you know, that the transit planner position could be switched into part, you know, part of those tasks of the deputy district manager. There's also like an info officer here. Can the PIO position be consolidated to part of what the deputy district manager does? Some of those consolidations may be things that we want to do, and therefore we may want to wait to approve all the positions as one due to some of those consolidations that could happen.
So, one, if I were to propose changing maybe some of the duties of the transit planner, then those activities that are general fund will not be able to be charged to the transit fund. And I hope that when we can have a session and really learn about fund mapping, which is why I can't wait to actually do this, because it's going to help you in everything that you do. Because it's going to get us on the right thinking path, which I think we'll see when Darcy we're after, is to learn to say, it's not as simple as just saying transfer X duties from him to her and we can get an economy of scale, because it doesn't work that way. They're going to have to, that's going to change the map to go with it, and you're going to find out you're not getting necessarily the desired goal unless money is not an object at all. And it's just resourcing the people, because that's two different exercises.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm not sure we can afford to pull the trigger where we want to go until I have an analysis, but I know, because I've looked at every single number until I can jump off this chair or something, I know we can do the transit position, because the wherewithal to pay it and to properly source it exists. And so maybe that's why I'm comfortable with the transit position, and I know that for all of us, I thought that was an imperative function to get transit up and running everywhere, and I just feel like it's also an integral position to accomplish a major program. So that's for me why.
Yeah, no, I understand that. It's just like for our district manager, $33,000 of his salary comes out of transit, right? Every position, our CFO, all part of their money is all coming out of transit. So how much is exactly the deputy district manager already coming out of transit? And it's not that maybe the transit planner is not what we consolidate, but all four of these positions, are there consolidations that can happen? And that's my only point. And if it, because if some of that money is already coming out of also transit, you know, which I believe it would be, I just don't see anywhere what that breakdown is. And then general fund, it seems like a lot of that actually will get funded from transit as well, right? I mean, we have to move stuff out of transit funding into the general fund in a way, right?
That's correct. There's an ICAP that comes over.
Yeah, so you just kind of a transfer.
Yeah.
I mean, because in the city, you know, we have all of the different funds, the enterprise fund, all that. I understand how it breaks out.
You cost allocate, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I think Carl did say 60-40 on the deputy, and that was 60.
Roughly, yes. It was
general,
like
40
like
transit. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how
it was looking at like 38% general.
Okay, 38.
And the balance then would be split between transit and capital.
Capital.
Products.
Okay.
Because
so that's
be
again the mapping. If we when we consider that position that Lori's asking for.
Right.
And then the accounts clerk, too, do you want to speak to that?
Well, I would say the account clerk, too.
That's 7,600 from general fund.
Right, so a number of the hours that the clerk to the board and the executive assistant spend now are charged against transit task, eligible transit task, and eligible project task. So in order to do what I think we're headed in be able to be available and help support all of this, it would be shifting those hours to the clerk. Mm-hmm. And then the clerk position. And then the executive assistant hours would be carried much more so on, just like the district manager, at 87% general fund. The other 13% gets split between eligible expenses that are being exercised, tasked, or transiting projects.
Okay, and so that, as we've discussed, really comes on the heels of facilitations, committee meetings,
that's right.
Additional workload that we're anticipating with a larger board and with more committees and more input, public process, mailings, getting packets out, all that. So. But we're not ready to act on that one today.
No, that's what I'm understanding. This is with clarification.
Well, I'm summarizing. I don't know if somebody wants to make a motion on the one position that we can move forward on or vote yay or nay on, or if we want to make a motion on a comprehensive group. So I will leave that to one of you to...
Can I?
Yes. Yes,
oh,
Sherry.
Sorry, this is Sherry. I just had one background question that I wanted to ask about the transit planner before we make a motion. And sorry if I missed this because it preceded my time here. But is this a new, like, is this a position that we're filling because it was vacated, someone left, or is this a new position that makes a new workload, or is it just that our current workload needs additional support?
I can answer that. This is Carl. This is workload related, especially when we're looking at things like the mobility hub, the site assessments for the maintenance and administration building, the update of the short range transit plan, a number of tasks that we have in the work plan and in the budget right now.
So it was approved in our budget.
Mm-hmm.
We did approve it previously, Sherry, but it's a new position.
So it's a higher class
higher
than what
class.
Was approved in order to be competitive in the marketplace to get the work done.
But it's because there's an anticipated ramp up of work that you want to be able to have support for.
That is correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, any other comments or questions? Otherwise, I'd ask for any sort of...
My only other comment about it is, yeah, that we are adding another $95,000 out of transit funding as we still are having issues delivering a good transit service in the South Shore and working on kind of projects that really, I mean, yes, they're transit-related. There's no doubt the mobility of an incline. There's these projects, but at the core of what we're trying to deliver, we're still having issues delivering it, and I wonder... Again, this is another $100,000 out of our South Shore Transit funding. So I'm just wondering, like, is this overall discussion about how we're going to deliver the service in the best way possible better for us to figure out before we add these kind of positions as a whole?
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken, I think we're talking about adding $20,000. The initial budget already had, if I'm right, $95,000. This fund...
But this would get
the mapping fund shows the potential increase if this board moves forward. And I think what I keep hearing some of the board members talk about is the need to make sure we are being sufficient and efficient on our transit operation until there is another entity willing to take it up and move forward with it. So I do support that, and with that I'm going to make a motion to approve the increase of the step from a grade 9 step 3 to a grade 12 step 6 with a difference of $20,000 to the budget.
Okay, there's a motion on the table. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Yes, and before we take a vote, I'd like to go to the public for any public comments. The motion is on the table to just take action on one position today. Do we have any public? No public comment? Okay. Any discussion from the board members, further discussion on this item, the motion on the table? Seeing none, I'll ask you to do a roll call vote, Judy.
Ms. Gustafson?
Aye.
Ms. Bagwell?
Yes.
Mr. Best?
Yes.
Mr. Bigley?
Yes.
Mr. Bruce?
Yeah.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Ms. Collins?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Ms. Howe?
Yes.
Ms. Hill? Ms. Hill? Ms. Novahill? Novacell, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Mr. Rice?
Yes.
That motion passes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. If I could... Sorry. Thank you. And if I could summarize then, our further direction to staff will come back after our facilitation workshop and further discussion on the mapping and the project workload.
Yes.
Is that fair? Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you for that item. So now we are on to district manager report. District Manager Report.
Yes, you have two documents in front of you. One is what was requested and we discussed last meeting, which is from the week of July 5th. There were some questions that had come from several of the board members, so you now have an update of that with both the question and the answers for your edification. The other is newer. I wanted to review that unless there were questions on the other. Just give you an update. We have received an award since my last report from NDOT relevant to purchase some more buses, which is good, replacing the fleet. The Compa class, it was revised as far as the RFP that went back out. Those applications are due here, or the submittals are due here August 19th. We are getting some inquiry from some other parties that did not submit prior, so we're hopeful about what we'll be seeing there. Wanted to make you aware that, you know, it's not going to be happening this year, but had been contacted by the California Transportation Commission, which is the State Transportation Board in California, about hosting a town hall, which TDD did some years ago. And we did quite a production involving all the transportation partners in the basin at that time. Since then, they have, given the Delta variant, they're not going to do any in-person town hall, so that's been deferred till September of next year, so I just want to make you aware of that. Then attached to this are some summary pieces. To Mr. Davis's point earlier about, you know, things going on or work that's been kind of stacking up here and we've not been talking about the board, the Ferraro Group, this is giving a summary here of two pieces. One is their overall communication strategy. We've been a little bit on hold with them, not entirely. The other is the Take Tahoe Transit campaign that they really would have liked to have gotten going earlier in the summer and still plan on doing that here before the summer's over so they can kind of get it launched. In discussions with Placer County, TART, the Truckee, North Tahoe, TMA on this, and Washoe RTC, and this is an idea of not to supplant what anybody else is messaging on transit, but to be more of this kind of umbrella message about for the region as a whole. So that's the idea with that. And they're looking to introduce that or to go a little more live with that here before the summer's over and the summer's lost entirely, with the thought that they will be back at it next season. Projects, we are getting a few more funding agreements. They've been slow coming in from NDOT, but I'm happy to see them. This is how we take care of some of these hours that are being charged to general fund right now, so that's good. We did apply for, submitted to TRPA and their request for projects, or the call for projects with the monies they had out. And then we, you know, one thing I'd like to make you aware of, looking to resolve right now with TRPA, is getting some reconciliation. This is having to do with the property and incline. There's been some discrepancy on the coverage, TRPA coverage on the property. So looking through TRPA documents, past approvals, the appraisal, et cetera, I'm not seeing everything line up. So I'm seeking assistance. We're seeking assistance from TRPA to reconcile what's the right figures here. That has important bearing in two ways. One, it has an important bearing potentially to the appraisal itself. And the second, it obviously or clearly has an important bearing on what can one do with that property. And so this is why we want to get this reconciled before this transaction is completed and so on. So TRPA is assisting with that, and that's a piece of work that's underway. Last piece, paid parking. It's working. People are busy out there. People are paying. The kind of issues that we're really seeing is the machines are great as long as you've got connection. So, you know, when our Wi-Fi service gets all loaded, then the machines aren't always up to speed. They're not necessarily getting all the transactions. And if you're using the app and you're not near a tower or something, then you can't do it remotely. So those are some of the technological issues in what I tend to call our support systems that are important for this. And so those are some things that we're looking at, and, you know, what are potential fixes on that, both short-term and long-term. I know we're going to run into those around the basin elsewhere, so this is the value of the pilot. What are we learning out of this pilot, or confirming out of this pilot? Because, you know, when it comes to technology, it is the way to go, but we're going to need to have all the support stuff there as we do this more and more in the basin, and I mean collectively as we do it more and more in the basin. So those are just some highlights for some other things there. Be happy to answer any other questions you might have.
Jordan, questions?
Yeah, just curious, on the June 17th, you got the approval for Douglas County with the bus yards, and I'm just wondering, as we're going through this kind of analysis and all that, it says you're going to go to TRPA for the next approval, but should we not wait for kind of this analysis and overall discussion just so that we don't spend money where we may not need to, in a certain sense? Just because the analysis is going to kind of answer, you know, a lot of things for us, and we may make decisions that change all that.
I think that's part of the next discussion we're getting into here with the work session today, and because these kinds of activities are on this project list.
Okay.
What we have money is programmed to. That's exactly what this exercise is about. It ties in with the fund mapping.
Okay.
And so this kind of discussion, I mean, we've already started dipping into it with the position discussion, which is really good.
Okay.
And I think that'll be all the more informative for you when we get to the work session.
Okay, and then the other question is about paid parking. I felt like we decided we were going to simplify that at the, and I guess we're still doing different rates for different times of day, and just curious where that left off.
It did get simplified in terms of some of the complexity. The goal of the project, relevant to this pricing with peak periods and so on, is all part of the pilot. It was part of the federal grant that we've got, so it's part of what the, actually DC is looking at, what we're doing and how well is that working. So kind of, if you're talking about going to a flat rate, that's not what we did in terms of simplifying it.
We did approve the consolidated rates, and I'm not sure what meeting
that's,
we did. But
that's correct.
I'm not sure if you were at that meeting, but we did end up simplifying the rate structure.
That's right.
Less,
with the season and so on, so it's less complicated when you're
that
up there.
That brought that back
and
we did approve.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. Thank you.
Okay. But please give Cody a report on that so he sees those rates that we
And that's part of what we would like to do, is especially as the summer wraps up, is be able to come back and get the entire board a report. What did we learn? What is the data showing us out of all of this? Because I think that you're going to find that very interesting. It's also, you know, important work. This is what this pilot is about.
Right.
So, but it does, just to clarify, it changes at different parts of the day, right? So there's like certain parts of the day, it's one rate, another part of the day. So to me, that's still a little complicated, but whatever, it is what it is. I was thinking we were going to do like a Friday through Sunday, $10, and then midweek, $5. But it is a little bit, when you get there, you're like, oh, wait, oh, I got to make sure I'm off my hike at a certain time. But any which way.
Well, and we can send you what it got changed to and what got approved. And, this is the idea of also having an app. So if you're out doing something and you want to add, or you guys, I'm going to stay longer, that you'd be able to do it. So this is part of what we're discovering with, not too much a surprise, that the connectivity, that's an issue. And so those are things that are continuing to be, this is what needs to be worked on.
I'm mindful of our time today, so we did approve it, but Andy, you want to make a comment?
No, I'm just trying
to be mindful. I know that certain people have to leave, so I'm like, we have a lot to get.
Just a question on a different item, going back to your first on the transit item there, the grant from NDOT for the 230-foot buses and 4 smaller cutaway vehicles.
Yes.
Are those replacing older vehicles?
Yes.
And are they electric? Are they electric replacements?
Which none of them are?
No.
Because we've got cutaways here. We've got electric, we have 2 sizes of electric coming in previous purchases. We're very eager to see how well they're going to do. Our biggest concern is when we go over Kingsbury Grade down to the valley, is that ability with the smaller vehicles and so on, how we're going to do. So we've got this mixed fleet right now. And we're going to be looking at the electric to see what are we really going
to
do.
So you can get back to Andy with a response on that.
We can do that.
Okay. I'm sorry. I've had several people comment we need to move to our facilitation.
You can do this too.
Yeah. Any other quick questions or things you want staff to follow up? Yes.
Very quickly. Thank you for including the communication strategy. I'm really excited to see that and to dive into it more. 2 things I missed. Did you say that it did? Phase 1 did start. Are we behind schedule a bit?
We're behind schedule.
Okay, that's fine. For all the phases, just make sure you're utilizing the TMA. We're very happy to.
Absolutely. And we, absolutely. Thank you.
I was hoping that we could also discuss that in our next session about work plan and subcommittees, because I do think they would benefit greatly, the Ferraro group, from having a subcommittee they work on, and the Transit Operations Committee should be involved in marketing of transit services and helping on review that more detailed, because one of the comments I've heard from the board is when we go back through everything that the organization is doing, our meetings take too long. So breaking into committees will allow a deeper dive into parking strategies or transit marketing. And so I'm hopeful we can, Carl, get back to that and tie that. And then when it comes to the board, it comes with a committee recommendation, and the committee can help with that.
Yeah, I just like to make a comment. Our meetings take long because we've got an organization that has needed major help. But I'm elected to give the time to an agency that I serve. And when it's a failed agency, we need to give it a lot of time. So I don't think it's about our meeting taking
I don't want our staff to believe that everybody...
We need to realize a commitment that we've made to be here.
Yeah, absolutely, Cody, and I did not mean to dismiss that it was you taking time. I'm trying to get answers from the staff to you directly, and I want our staff to know not everybody feels it's a failed agency. These are the people that deliver services to this community. They work tirelessly to do that.
I'm sensitive to,
we have questions, we give respect to our staff to answer those questions, and I absolutely give respect to you to ask those questions and get answers. They're valid questions. Let's give them that opportunity. Any other questions? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm just on the line you have here, Carl. A few funding agreements from NDOT. This would be related to the regional funding stuff that we talked about earlier.
That's one.
Okay.
There's a total of six that we're waiting for. And the others are related to the 28 corridor and what's on this list.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. So I would ask staff, if this is fair with board, because we do give a lot of time, let's make sure we get our questions to staff on these reports, because I think that's really important information for all of you to know. If you want more clarification, Carl has started these reports at our request, and let's take this opportunity to make it right so that if you need the details of those six reports, we ask Carl, please get us the details. And I think that's fair. I definitely think these questions are fair. It's just how much time do we take today versus getting on the rest of this and correcting as we move on the staff report. Okay. Any other questions from the board? And then I'll go to public questions. Oh, yes.
Just real quick. Is it possible to get these, like, you know, 24 hours in advance or something before the meeting? Because I have a hard time sitting in a meeting reading.
I totally get it. And
yes,
recall,
it's possible.
You know, our last meeting was a week and a half ago.
No, right. No,
so,
and I love it. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't,
we're working to be able to get it into the packet.
Perfect.
Pack it out a week in advance.
Yeah.
All of those things. And
I'm really thrilled with this. Thank you. I really appreciate the information.
Good.
I thought I'd throw it out
there. Good.
And as in any report, it does beget other questions, which are valid questions that we need to address and try to do as much as we can ahead of time.
Just one last question that came to mind. With the incline thing, when you said the appraisal, the appraisal is coming in way high? Is that
the appraisal was reasonable.
Okay.
It was a fact in the appraisal. And looking, doing our due diligence, and looking at TRP records and so on, make everything sure everything lines up. It doesn't match up.
So
I want clarification to know which set of numbers is accurate.
And that's because of a use issue, you're saying they're defining more uses on the parcel?
I'm saying the implication of the answer has bearing on how one may use it, could or could not have bearing. And that's what I'm talking about.
We should adjust the value, I'm assuming, and that's why you're saying that we need to dial that in.
We need to be clear on exactly what we're getting. That's what I'm wanting to make sure, that it's consistent and we can rely on it.
They can meet the intended goal that we have. That's the whole purpose. Can we utilize the property as we intend to use it?
As we intend, and if it's going to be sold because something else is chosen, then we know what the applications are in selling that. So that's kind of spectrum of that to make sure, okay.
So if the appraiser found that out instead of us finding that out, I'm just confused, because shouldn't we have known that before we decided to take this on?
No, we found it out by doing our due diligence and taking the appraisal and looking at all the records that we know of relevant to the property. That's part of what we're supposed to do, is seeing that everything lines up. If we see a discrepancy, we need to get clarity.
Great. Any other questions? And I'll go to the public. Any questions on the district manager's report? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move on. Board, commission member, and staff comments, item 5 on our agenda. Do any of us have further questions, comments, reports we want to give from our organization?
The only thing is a future item for me to see about electrifying our fleet. I thought we had that goal already set. I'm very surprised to hear that we're going after gas buses, and I'd like to see a future agenda item in the nearest future possible.
That's a workload issue that we'll be talking about in our next session on you know, what it takes to electrify a fleet. Other comments, questions, reports? Andy, you don't want to give a report on Park Connect?
It's doing great.
I will real quickly let you know that it is doing great. Your ridership is equal to all of the West Shore's ridership. Last I heard, this is last Tuesday's report, and that 40% of the riders had never before taken public transit in the Tahoe Basin when surveyed. So tremendous response. The company is following up with questions and surveys, so we really get good analytics on how people are using it. A lot are going to work, a lot are going to events, a lot are going to food and beverage.
Yeah, it's about 24,000 rides in just about 6 weeks.
Wow. Tremendous effort, and good. Take credit for all the work you did to get that to happen.
Great. Okay. Any
public comment on the board member reports and comments? Seeing none, we'll go to our last public interest comments. Do we have any other public interest comments today? Okay. So we are now going to go to agenda item 7, which is our third board work session. I have to turn this over to you for just a moment, Sue. We have a small fire happening in Colfax, which is part of my district, and people are being evacuated, and I have a mayor calling me. So I need to step out and take that call. Like, I'm trying to figure out what's happening. So if you don't mind, start us off.
I will start us off. Okay, we're in item 7, which is going to be our third retreat, and I believe we have someone here to help us with us?
No.
No, not that's right. That's right. I take that back.
We've been very,
we're
going to be self-facilitating here. So let me point out the materials, because they've already been talked about quite a bit, but I want to walk through what you have. So the first one is this that has a fund mapping, starts with the general fund up in the top left-hand corner. These sheets are probably what we'll be using the most, along with the project aspect. The other one underneath it, that's the same size, called fiscal year 2020 trial balance. This is for those of you who really want to know how all of this stuff ties in and, you know, is mapped to the financial audit and so on. So it's there for your, and Joni can correct me on any of this because I'm just doing this stuff. And then the other big sheet is this project matrix. So for those of you on the phone, you should receive these materials online or on your email to follow along. And so that's going to give us the opportunity to have this discussion for both more education that Joni can help you with here, relevant to things, answering some of the questions that have come up today. And Kyle, you'll be learning more about 53.7 and 53.11 and everything that goes into transit and the complexity of that. So this will be good background in that way. And then I think it will stimulate a lot of questions and discussion, so I'm looking forward to it. Thank you. And then over to Joni to walk us through.
I would highly recommend coming over and looking at the treats Mr. Ruth brought.
Ooh.
You should blood sugar up for the conversation at hand.
Oh, very nice.
And just in all seriousness, I do appreciate that. As we go through this, if you could make sure to explain acronyms, numbers, and everything like that, that would be very helpful, at least for me.
I will assist on the acronym demystification.
Thank you.
And I'll be honest with you, say anything, because this is my world. I live in this. I tend to forget that not everybody knows it as well as I do. So please stop and ask any questions, and I'll try not to abbreviate or, you know, TBD. I'm sure we all know, but, you know, down the road, I know that a lot of this is new for everyone. So on the very first page, this is for the general fund. This is the mapping of the general fund. And it's a map from the last audited financial statement, which is June 30th. So just so you know, we're closing out June in the next couple of weeks. We're preparing the audit worksheets and everything that they need and require. They come out at the end of September, finalize the financials about the end of October, beginning of November. We do the MD&A. MD&A is management discussion and analysis. And then it comes back to the board usually in the December board meeting for approval for fiscal year 21. So that's the time frame when you can expect that. As far as the mapping of the general fund goes, on the left-hand side going down, these are our account numbers. This is a description of how we spend the money. And you can see how much we spend in the general fund based on these categories. Off on the top to the right, there are work elements. This is the program. This is what we spend them on. So I'm not going to go through each of these columns. One is a little stale. But second of all, it's just an understanding for you guys to know what is it that we work on, where is the majority of the money being spent. Then when you come down on the left-hand side, there is a subcategory showing where the ICAP comes in from other programs. That's both transit and the CIP fund. Money comes in to offset these expenses that are shared throughout the organization.
So would you do a favor, just because I think it's really going to facilitate something for our discussion, is to discuss ICAP, because I think people are not understanding, and that's really, so while we talk about reimbursable grants or billables or methodologies to determine funding sources, this, it's an administrative charge to the other funds that we're able to recover for the general fund. And where you start getting that the general fund has no, not real revenue, it's charging, unless we get lucky and can just none of them do that. But it's what you can charge to the other grants. Like, is it 15% is our max that we take from?
Ours is 10%. 10? On outside costs.
Okay.
Based on the de minimis.
Okay. So that's why when you're mapping, Cody, it starts going, well, wait a minute, if the transit direct charge is $1 million, then we're going to get 10% of that to the general fund. That gives me $100,000. Or the director, or the deputy director, somebody that I can't direct charge to the activity.
Right, but a portion of it you can, like a portion of whatever you can kind of put their duties towards transit,
direct.
For instance.
And we do that, yes. Direct.
One question I would have with you, when we say transit, right, there's the large amount of money that comes into the whole region of Tahoe. I think close to 50% breaks out to the park for North Shore. And then the rest gets retained into the TTD budget. When we say transit, and we talk about those percentages, is that coming out of all of transit regional money or just South Shore regional money? So for instance, the $33,000 of Carl's salary that should be transit funding, or I'm sorry, is transit funding, that's only coming out of South Shore's portion of transit funding.
Correct.
And that's honestly something that, is that really fair?
Not exactly, because MDOT has a piece of that. Because, again, every dollar gets split between, on a percentage basis, on miles, between the two programs. So it's not 100% coming out of California.
But I would say, though, that MDOT gives a big amount of funding to TTD for the, you know, the region, basically. And a good portion of that money of MDOT gets handed to TARC because they operate Crystal Bay, they operate Incline. So MDOT has money that goes into TARC, correct?
No.
I mean,
no? It does not.
Okay. So no Nevada portion of transit funding helps Incline Village or Crystal Bay?
That is correct.
Okay.
Actually, we get RTC funding.
Okay.
And then Washoe County RTC funding helps match the federal funds that are going to TARC. And TARC has to delineate Nevada miles versus California miles. And then we get about, I think, 31% of the 5307 money is allocated to those services in the Nevada side of North Shore that goes to TARC, and then RTC provides additional matching funds as the regional transit authority in Washoe County.
And the reason TTD gets MDOT dollars is rural money, because we serve Minden-Gardnerville, connect Tahoe to Minden-Gardnerville, and connect Minden-Gardnerville to Carson City.
I see.
So that's what those funds are. It allows us to apply for those funds. Otherwise, we don't have enough urban dollars to go to those areas to connect those communities.
Right. But so Nevada, though, their money is coming through a different authority into the North Shore for Nevada. my question is, though, does that not all become part of this one, like, transit funding for the whole Tahoe region, right, for our MPO?
Collectively.
Why I'm saying that is because should we not be looking at, when we look at the last page here and all this transit funding, $3.4 million, I know the parts that support just the operation of transit shouldn't be coming out of that larger thing. It should be split. But the administrative functions that support the efforts of TCD should be coming out of that larger pool of money, not just focused on South Shore. And again, this has been my point the whole time. We're getting less efficiencies on the South Shore because we are burdened with covering all administrative costs of TTD, which is an agency that's tasked with all of Tahoe. So should that funding not be coming out of that larger portion of money? It shouldn't be just out of the $6.8 million of South Shore. And again, that's why when you look, and I've been trying to advocate strongly that we need to move transit into the same mechanism of the North Shore, which I'd still like to do, but as an overall, if there's going to be your part of your salary, $33,000, that's coming out of transit funding, it needs to be the North Shore and South Shore's transit. We need to all be sharing that cost, and we're not right now, and that's why our efficiencies for South Shore transit are at the level they're at, frankly.
So can I ask a clarifying question on that? So TTD doesn't operate other transit other than, like this year, not operating any other transit other than South Shore.
Right.
The East Shore Express is not running. I don't believe the Emerald Bay Express that you were involved with, or the Emerald Bay Shuttle for a while. So there is only transit funding, or there's only a transit operation in South Shore.
Right.
So there should be a recognition or an expectation that the staff that does work for TTD, because part of their job is to operate transit, part of their expense is going to go into transit. So I would say, you know, maybe there's an analysis that has to happen there, is of the transit service, how much of the transit service is on the South Shore, 98%, you know, maybe there's a small amount, but right now there's no on the transit side of things. You know, obviously the CIT is different, you know, whether that's projects on Highway 28, Highway 50 corridor, or whatever it might be. But I think, you know, the dollars that are going against transit, now, we haven't done analysis to say, are those accurate dollars? That could be another conversation, but there would be an expectation that all of the staff that is engaged in the TTD is going to have some element in transit, and that transit should support that call.
Yeah, and can I just jump in real quick, because I know I've been distracted, but I want to make sure you know that TARC also, we pay administrative people of the county to run transit, oversee transit. Like all the jurisdictions, we are always trying to look for sources of money to help fund all the positions. So,
I agree with you, Andy. In the current setup that we're in, definitely, like, there's administrative functions here just supporting the South Shore Transit because of the system that we're in. But if we move on from that, right, we are going to want to use some of that transit funding to continue to support the positions that exist for the capital projects, the things that are happening, and therefore it should be coming out of that, like, large transit dollar funding that's for our whole region is all I'm saying, because I think as we move forward, you know, if we did shift all that South Shore transit funding to somewhere new, well, where is it going to come from? It's still going to have to come from somewhere, and it should be a contribution pulled from the larger pool of money. That's all I'm saying.
Are you referring to the federal dollars then that go through to the transit authorities, both being...
I would refer to, like, at one time I saw it around $11.9 million for both North and South Shore, something like that. It was like a larger number, and that's the dollar, and I think that's federal, state, I think that's a contribution of
everything. So can I pull this back in, guys, and just say, you know, maybe this is something where we have this one subcommittee of transit, so we can work on that, and maybe come back with some real numbers for you?
That might work. But that's probably better in that larger revenue conversation. Because I think what Cody's alluding to is that if we change our current revenue sources, we're going to have to think holistically of how to pay for TTD's administrative and other
functions.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of that
larger conversation? It's so funny. And I don't really
have to
really find
it.
So then you can see after that indirect cost allocation plan, ICAP, We still would be short $158,000, almost $159,000. On the right of that, you see the revenues that are going to the general fund. Administrative fees, rental car mitigation fees, miscellaneous contribution, and interest. The only thing that really has a tie to it, as far as a mapping revenue source, is rental car mitigation fees, because we have always, and it's always in the past, prior to staffing here with this organization, $20,000 more short with their transit operation. So that came from our rental car mitigation fees in the very beginning. We continue to gauge rental car mitigation fees to see if we can make that $20,000 like this year, because we were a little concerned that with COVID, will we be getting enough rental car mitigation fees in to hit that $100,000 budget amount? And we did. We went over it this year. So these monies here have to pay for whatever is left over on what is not paid by the ICAP. And it's not assigned other than that $20,000 to a specific expense. Okay, so it's discretionary within the general fund. Ideally, in the general fund, we would like to have all of the salaries there, you know, all of the, at least the administration salaries. Most centralized organizations have it. Most centralized organizations, governments, have a dedicated funding source to pay for it. So that's the difference. So if there's any questions on what we work on, the numbers by categories, or the general fund revenues, I'm open for that.
Thank you, Julie. I think the question I had earlier was using reserves, not the general
right.
fund per se, but yes. using any reserves out of any account is always...
No. In our financial policy, we say we should live in our budget,
right? Right.
However, if someone is recommending, or if you guys recommend that we need a deputy, we got to look at it, see what's it, and right now you can tell if we can't afford it this way, it would have to be financed through the reserves.
Yeah, right. And that's where this conversation is really great.
Yeah.
Really take a look at it in detail. I think Andy's in Marcy. Sure, for your back.
I was just going to ask, on the reserve, on page 2 of the trial balance, is that our reserves that are within that fund balance, restricted fund, unrestricted fund, and reserve for encumbrance?
As of June 30th last year, right now it's about $800,000.
So
is that what you're anticipating for June 30th this year? Is it 800-ish?
Right around 800.
So we're going to go from 688 and unrestricted to about 800,000.
That is correct.
So then
that is correct because
so then you could look at something and one of the things is this group or the finance committee or all is to really determine what your bottom line threshold is that you need to keep in reserve.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to help us drive our decisions in the future. And so. That's why I wasn't ready when I was looking at this. I was, maybe I want to see the financials that you're going to be coming up here with real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, I'm not comfortable with a $150,000-ish general fund hit against my 688. Here, I was like, no. Whether I like it or not, I don't think it's fiscally prudent. So. I really need to see, or we need to discuss as a group, what is that amount that you have to have so that if funding sources dry up, things happen, cash flows, all those good kind of things. So is it that our policy, and I don't know that we have one, so like I do in Person City, we went through and set financial policies for all of our utility funds. Right? Very same thing. We said,
yeah.
Hey, here's the bottom line threshold, and so without that answer, I can't start determining the others.
We have those, and to be honest, this is why we don't have a deputy today. It's been asked before.
Because there isn't.
We cannot afford it without doing this.
Without using the reserves.
That is correct.
Unless there's another funding source, okay? So, you know, I put in those budgets a couple months ago looking for all of your organizations to pony up the money into the organization and to ask for the state as a stopgap until there's a regional revenue. That's my goal or wish or whatever you want to call
it. Can I ask just what is that policy? Is it like 25%? We operate in the city on a 25%, you know, total budget. We hold back for reserves so that we have 3 months of, you know, if emergency happens or whatever. What is that percentage and what do we hold back?
Yeah, so we...
Well, our feeling is we look at it on a year-to-year basis. Can we live within our means? And then as far as what it goes is next, do we have any type of debt liability that we have to hold for, right? Right now, the only real debt we have is for employee compensated absence, for those that are, you know, years out, when they finally get cashed out. So we really are in a good shape. I don't think that we have a set amount or a set percentage, but more along the lines, where are we on our debt? What are our future plans? And then from those goals, what do we want to keep and determine? We don't want to have a flat amount that just is very narrow.
Well, I would say that we should figure out that amount, because for me it's about reserve and then undesignated funds. And so there's basically, we got to have a 25% reserve, and that's for just emergency catastrophes. We've never had to dip into it in the city, but, you know, there's a good chance we have, one day we could. Mm-hmm. So I think we need those policies. And then we know, here's our undesignated reserve, or not undesignated reserve, but undesignated funds.
That'd be another job for the finance subcommittee?
I agree.
I found another one.
Just to clarify the question again on the numbers, so am I reading this correctly that the annual kind of operational cost, the annual cost of $550,000?
Mm-hmm. It's about $600,000 this year. Okay.
And if we have 810, 820 reserves, we've got about a year and a half of runway, is the way I think I'm looking at that.
But what's our liability for uncompensated absences? What do we got?
For the governmental side of things, we're looking about $50,000, I believe.
So I think the finance committee could tackle something here to be able to look to set the threshold for decision making, to say, okay, we're gonna hold back $400,000 because if everything flops and all the staff gets laid off, we have to pay no matter what. We need $75,000 to pay off the liabilities of the staff.
Okay,
right? So that's got to be reserved no matter what. We can't ever go lower than that because that's got to get paid. What do we have in rent? You know, what are some things?
Right.
Probably a 90-day to a 6-month. That's the way we did it in the other accounts I work on. We set a 6-month threshold because you're never going to wrap up fast enough.
Sure. So again, let's get the finance committee looking for recommendations. So it sounds like you should be on that. Thanks.
Okay. Moving on to the CIP fund then.
I'm trying to see the difference, as I asked earlier in the meeting, that, you know, better understanding of where the general fund comes from. I thought I heard 10%.
Great.
Is that on every funding source we have? It's 10% across the board? I assume it's different between funding sources. So
it's based on modified cost, which is programmed out through a guideline of issued by FCA on what you can charge, right? So what are the allowable costs that you can charge on? For instance, you can't charge it on depreciation because more than likely, most of the fleets are bought with federal funds. Therefore, they're not going to pay an ICAP on top of it. So there's guidelines of what is allowable, what's not allowable. So once that formula is figured out, it's 10% of those costs, and that 10% comes over. Now, what I've always had, if you look at the budgets for next this last year, I don't put more than $400,000 on the transit fund, even though it would be more allowable to be able to move forward that way. I just think it's too burdensome. We all agreed as staff that that was the case. So that is taken into consideration. So other than that, Kevin, you can see the revenues on the right-hand side in the middle.
Well, the right-hand side in the middle.
At the bottom of the page.
I'm sorry.
Page one.
Kyle, it's right here.
Underneath revenues.
This is what's covering the non-ICAP. If you look to the left, so that 10% is $389,472. So they're short $158,000 on what they can charge to all the other funding sources to cover the general fund. So then how do they make up the $158,000 shortfall? She's got the revenues that tells us she's taking an admin, that's how she's making it up. So that differential is all that we have to work with, which is why right off the front end,
right,
everybody admitted, wait a minute, I can do that quick math, 207 minus 158, we can't afford the deputy. We can't even cover it in our annual, don't even look at the reserve, the annual does not have sufficient money to support the decision. We may want it, but there's no...
Yeah.
There's no underlying cash.
Right.
That's what the fund map here is showing you.
Where did the reserves appear on here?
The reserves actually are on the other document underneath it. If you go to page 2, and it's 3005 is the account number. So unrestricted was 688, but she said this year it's going to be about 800,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is last year's audit.
Okay.
So you can see.
So that reserve. So when the money goes in from into those reserves, those are all unrestricted funds, and those are sourced out of
that net
in a similar fashion to
yes.
the general fund
yes.
source.
So like this year, you'd say the 207 minus the 158 right
yeah.
there, that money I added into my unrestricted.
That goes into the reserve.
That's how she's getting it each year,
yeah.
and it's accumulating.
Right.
Is that different?
Okay.
So, but I think once we set the thresholds, we'll have some good answers to say we could do this and know that it's only 3 years of funding.
Yeah.
And either the deputy finds some more grants, finds another money, or he be no more, or she be no more. It's usually a pretty good incentive. People, whoa, wait, there's no cash.
Or another revenue source.
another source to pay for. Yeah. Right. In a nutshell, find money.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so last one. CIP.
Yep.
Capital Improvement Program. All the different programs that we have are in these two boxes. As you can see, projects can have multiple grants. The grants are the funding sources.
Right.
Yeah.
Page 2.
On page 2, the first...
The first document.
Yes. After the total, you'll see that there's lines for two columns. That's those two are one project. US 50. We have two grants for US 50. Okay.
So before you go on, Johnny, so all of these are funding sources across the top.
Yes.
So we can explain which they are. So then like US 50, STP, that's Surface Transportation Program dollars. And this is coming through Caltrans. Okay. CMAQ, Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Fund. This is money that's administered in El Dorado County, available for El Dorado County only. And the TRPA is the Regional Transportation Planning Agency, has that administrative role on that. So, and so on. So that's what these, this gives you an idea when you see all these funds at the top and the bottom of the many different grants and so on that one has to go after in order to try to do the projects. And then Joni's got these. So that's what that is.
And then going down the columns again are the expenses. What did we spend the money on in these programs? What I want to draw your attention to is if you look at the personnel amount and then you look at the contracts, you can far see that we hire out a lot of the, we subcontract out to do a lot of the work. We do not have the staff available to do that work. That's how we did it from the beginning. It worked well for us and continue to do it that way.
Yeah, so we've stayed since we were primarily a special fund organization from the get-go, we have purposely stayed a small core staff and have done a lot of the other work through contract instead of building up a large staff and not worrying about can you sustain them.
And these are all reimbursable grants. We fill out an application. It has to fit within the grant scope to be allowable, that they will review it. We give them a budget. We tell them what we're going to do. There's a scope that's determined. If we get awarded, if we're lucky enough and we get the award, we can begin the project, but those funds are only for that project, only for the scope and the budget that we have sent forward.
So, Joni, I just want to quick note, our chair had to leave because of an emergency and our fire, so I'll be taking over again.
Very
okay.
good.
Okay. Okay.
A quick question, if I can, on that.
Mm-hmm.
Just to clarify, the second page, the total expenses and transfers, as an example, US 50, the Surface Transportation Program grant, that's a grant for $742,501.
That's how much we spent in fiscal year 20. So how much the grant?
Is there the revenue? Does this show any revenue, or is that someplace else?
We are a reimbursement grant, and anything that's in the expense is what we get for revenue based on the grant, or the match source that's required.
So that's what you submit, and that's what you.
So there's no extra dollars. There's no discretionary, availability of those funds. There might be a little bit of a difference on interest earned on project advances, but it goes back into the project before the project ends.
Got it.
So what you're saying then, when we apply for this, if there's no cap, it's just an expense that we are buying that we're going to pay for?
Well, I would say there's not a cap. We're going to have a specific amount that we're going to request for. Will we get that grant?
Right.
If we get that grant for the amount that they say they're going to fund, it's either we have to adjust the budget or it's the budget that we submitted. But we're not going to get, if we save money and we do this very efficiently, we do not get the extra money.
Right.
They just, go back into another pot.
Is it recognized anywhere here what the grant request is for the...
It's not on this form. However, on our last financial, there's a CIP amount that shows the grant balance at the end of what we already had. I could definitely provide to you.
I think that's what we're missing.
That's what I'll do. I'll make another one.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I just to explain, with surface program grant, that is essentially in California in the basin, we can apply for kind of anything that's a surface grant. So with the 50 project, $742,000, that isn't specific to US 50. That's just surface transportation.
That's money specific to US 50.
Okay, so we applied it as a... But that's not money. That money can't go into, let's just say, bus stops on Highway 50.
Not unless you're changing up a project and you're going to get all the approvals to go shift money away to that kind of project. That's what you would have to do.
But like
and then with that, then it's like, if you're not going to do this project anymore, what are the implications or the liabilities associated with doing that?
Right. So will we be able to, for instance, this year, if we're probably not going to be doing that kind of work on the US 50 project, that 742 will still be able to apply to other surface transportation projects? Or not in that ballpark, that's kind of what's available for us? Is it
not without some serious work and agreement on the part of the grantor?
Yeah, they're awarded to a specific project, okay? And so the MPO actually distributes those services, so everyone's applying, the city, El Dorado County, TTD, and so those are past funds that have been awarded to a very specific project.
Okay.
So if that project is not going to get carried out anymore, those funds revert back.
And they can go.
You can't just use them on something else.
Right. And additionally, I would suggest that if the board is considering terminating projects that are being implemented by existing grants, that they ask staff to review the grant agreements for termination provisions, because there may be provisions in those grant agreements requiring the district to repay the funding.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're halfway through a project and you terminate a grant agreement, you may be on the hook for paying the funding that you spent.
Good point.
Carl, does this project that you provided us, does it match the project that we're going over their financials?
For the most part, yes. Because this is related more to that map and so on that we discussed last meeting. And what I would consider our current project activities.
And just remember, this is a snapshot of June 30th of last year. Grants have closed, projects have been completed, and they're no longer, and new projects have been added on. So it's just, like I said, a snapshot in time, but it does explain our funding, our discretionary, what we can move around and what we can't.
There's a caveat on the list that I would like to explain, though, to your question, which is other monies that weren't available at the time when this June 30 snapshot was done. For things like the acquisition or what we're going to be doing with site assessment and so on, those aren't going to show up in this necessarily that we've got for the record from the end of last fiscal year.
And when will we have this fiscal year, June 30th for 21? When's that going to be available?
Well, that audit's being performed right now. By the end of the calendar year, December is when the audit report should be available and shared with the board on that. But as far as any updates to all of this, that can all be done.
I would like to say I take great pride in telling our financial status and the staff report every month what's happening. So next month, we'll have April and May because we missed it this time around. However, they're done. April and May will come out, and you'll have where we are as of May 31st.
That's why you should take great pride, and you do a great job doing it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Really
thank
this
you very much.
This is very helpful. So you do this, when we go through our monthly financials, we'll all be more educated.
Yes, and fast-forwarding this ahead, this is still in effect, but it's not the theory and how we utilize the money. So I thought it was a very good point because it does tie out to an audit. If you don't trust us, please check the audit. These numbers will roll right into them, and it has been verified. So, having said that,
I have one more question.
Just a comment.
Mm-hmm.
What I hope is that by doing this exercise, what we'll do in the future for a budget is you create a budget fund map. Then, from now on, what will happen is anytime you want to make an adjustment to the budget or anything, a fund map comes with a new date on it that says effective this, so that you can mark and track your changes to the work programs, to the staffing patterns, and you're able then to take a final audit and really come to it and say, how close did we get? Are we on the right track? Or, wow, why are we having such wild shifts? Because hopefully we're not. Hopefully we're planning well, we're programming well, and executing.
Correct.
Or there's a reason. And it's
right.
been, you know, it's been vocalized through the entire year, so it's no surprise that you're in, that we didn't hit the budget and amount for expenses in transit because we knew that we had a lot of positions open. However, for the budget, I want to make sure it's funded for the budget, so I'll put it in there.
Exactly.
But you're going to have a discrepancy between those two amounts, and that's why.
And it's nice to have, to have a map like this and to have a red line when there's questions, when there's changes, so that we could flash out too.
And just so you guys know, we do that as we do the budgeting process.
Yeah.
We have to, otherwise we wouldn't know how to do that.
Right. No,
I
understand.
Especially going 5 years forward. So really thank you for the work and for putting it together, because I just think financial statements, well, they're just not easily read by people that aren't financial lovers of numbers. Where this way, it's just, it's linear, and it just shows it different, and you can see that, oh, wait a minute, if you make that decision, it just did this to that.
Right.
Versus you're trying to read down a financial report.
Yeah.
It's just totally different. Oftentimes, and I hope maybe even for staff, the other thing that they do, sometimes you find your own error.
Oh my gosh.
Because when you map it, you go, that can't be right, and you can go back and make journal entries and corrections before the auditor comes.
You know, we do internally, we have monthly meetings, quarterly meetings on where are we in transit within our budgets. And if something's out of whack, we start looking and digging in and finding out, oh, do we misclass something? Do we have to redo that? And you work with our funding sources if we have to do that, if it's a different rate. But we do that consistently. And I think that shows on our clean audits.
I think this was already asked, but you can give us a CIP that kind of shows us totals for all these projects so we can see the lifetime total of the grant.
I will bring back to you, I'm going to bring back to you the active grants, active grants, this is what we have, how much we spent, what's the balance, as of May 31st. Because I don't have June done yet, I got to wait for everything to come in.
Yeah, so this is a point in time would be good.
One thing I'd like to point out on the CIP is that these are funds that come through or are related to TTD.
Mm-hmm.
So a project, for example, like the far upper right-hand corner, Fanny Bridge, right, two funding sources. Those are not the only funding sources involved in that project. But when it comes to TTD and any TTD expenses, that's it. But, you know, so you've got Federal Lands Access Program dollars that are going to construction. You've got Placer County match dollars that are going to construction. This is just related to TTD. So it's just a point of clarification with some of these that I want to make you aware of.
Yeah, so a project budget is not just what we have in grants that we receive. It's that bigger picture.
And I see the project cost on here, like total cost, but it'd be good to see just what we've gotten and spent to date. Like, just not the total project.
I can do it as of May 31st if you don't mind.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Not done.
Yep.
All right. Any other questions on the capital?
Anyone from the phone? okay with you all. I don't hear anything from the phone. No one else? Okay. I think we're good.
So okay. All right, then. This is a little bit more complicated. This is the transit fund.
You're on page 3 now?
Yes. So the total on the plus side, again, it's coming down with the expenditures, right? This is, these are the accounts that we spend the money on in the transit fund. And then to the right are the funding sources. And this is the TDA worksheet, mainly because I use it for the TDA audit portion, but it just shows really the expenses that are allowable under federal guidelines for reimbursement. So, like I said, in depreciation, that's not an allowable expense, so it's not part of the schedule. However, on the next page, I have a calculation and reconciliation to show all the costs and expenses. So, having said that, the total cost, like I said before, divided between rural and urban. And SR 28 has some direct costs, so they have their own column. Excuse me. So from there, after that mileage allocation is done, and that's on a monthly basis. This is a cover that everything goes into the year-to-date on the TDA. There is a tab for July, August, September with these exact same information for just that month. Okay? So, excuse me. 5311 NDOT. That percentage is there. You can see how much the $1.8 million revenue we received for fiscal year 20, and the matching requirements PDA paid for. And the 5307, the next set of columns, or SR, I think it's SR 28,
correct.
You can see the 5307 amounts that were applied for, or the expenses were applied towards, and then the matching requirements, Nevada State Park, next. I'm sorry.
All right, you're doing fine.
One second. I'm not used to wearing a mask all
the
time.
None of us are.
Oh, my gosh.
While Tony takes a bit of a breather there, one of the things I want to point out with this is there is a lot of balancing and a lot of matching that has to happen here to run this transit system. Given the two-state nature and given the rural and urban funding sources, and all the requirements that go with it, with matches and so on. So this is part of what you're seeing in as a simplified form as I've ever seen of the gyrations that have to be gone through and paid really strict attention to when balancing all this out, because it comes to bear in the applications that are given to NDOT because they want to see all this, and you pretty much have to expect to live by it. So, you know, if you want to start tweaking some of this, then there are, just like with the projects, there are some, you know, if you squeeze on this end of the tube, something else is going to happen over here. So we're all going to want to be very conscientious about that.
Yes. And the beauty about this worksheet is that it will tell you if you're out of balance or you double dipped.
Right.
So we do this for my job duties. I do this worksheet before we send out the invoices. We prepare the invoices. We go through all of the different ways that we double check to make sure everything balances, because there's no questions about that. And then we put it in the TDA worksheet. Is there any double dipping? What did we miss? Are we short somewhere? What did we not invoice? So it's a check and balance within our department too, and is a tool for us on a monthly basis. But it does show the funding strategies here. So with that, you saw the SR 28. Then comes the 5307. There's multiple grants that we use. Like I said, the 5307 grant from FTA for the urban can roll more than just 1 year. And that's on a federal basis, so they're an annual, at least at this point, it was annual. Recently, this last application request was for a 2-year cycle. But in the past, it was annually. And that goes from October to September, federal fiscal year. So those monies will roll for that last quarter. Those balances will still move forward, but we will shut off and start starting anew with how we collect that revenue information. Okay? And then you have the total and how much TDA spent. And those columns, you'll see there's multiple TDA columns. Therefore, here's the total, which is what's in GL. What's the difference? And if you were part of our board last year at the audit, you'll remember that we received in the $142,000. later than when we closed the year out, and we decided to put it as restricted for this year and put it towards fiscal year 21 expenditures. So that's where that came from. Any questions on that funding? We have a little bit more piece to that.
Not really. So 6.1 is kind of where we landed. I'm just curious, when did we kind of came down on funding a little bit from 2019, 2018,
yeah? Yes, we cut services, right? November?
We cut services. Mm-hmm. But where is that $700,000? Is that Nevada? Where are we losing that from? I'm just curious.
It's a split between the two because, like for rent for the city, those dollars are split between the two programs. It's not that it's just in the city, therefore only the city is going to pay for it.
Right.
They share those costs between the programs based on mileage.
Well, I'm more speaking of the revenue, because we were used to be about 6.8 or so. So the $700,000, are we losing that in grant, basically, or why are we losing that revenue?
We're not losing in grant amount. We won't be incurring the expenses because we cut down on the routes. We reduced our routes in November 1st, 2018.
So we ramp up the service,
if we ramp up
the service,
we can get for more money.
Right.
If there's capacity.
Yeah, so like for NDOT, we did ask for more in this two-year cycle. Mm-hmm. We did not get it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, not only did we not get the more, we're getting less than we've been getting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the nature of discretionary funding sources, is what Sandra's been telling us that for some time has NDOT had.
Yes.
There's not going to, at some point, there's not going to be enough to go around. Well, this time we've arrived at that. And so we're going to have to adjust. That doesn't mean, you know, so we're going to want to keep the services going that those monies pay for. Because if we cut those, then you're just cutting more revenues.
Yeah, but is there more, if we provide a larger service area, for instance, in California, can we go after more California dollars? Is there not,
there's a pot annually, that's the set amount.
This is why the presentation that we had at the beginning of this about coming to consensus on regional revenue comes into play, because especially for transit, and particularly for transit operations, there is not other discretionary dollars to go after.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Does that make sense, then, Cody?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Any other questions? Okay. On the next page, then, we have the total of 4CGL. What was the total that we had against the TDA worksheet? And there's a difference between there.
Page 4?
Yes, page 4. And this is really what's unallowable in the grant. TDA can pay for it. Contributions can pay for it. That came into the system. But their cost that we incur that needs to be paid by with different funds than FTA. Okay? And those unallowable costs are very, you know what they are. As you work in it, there's a listing. There's a chapters or a chapter with many pages of what's allowable and unallowable. And we always can check with our grant partners if we are unsure. In the very bottom, you can see other costs that are not allowable that didn't even come through the split, and that is for like our bank fees, our credit card fees, the depreciation. So that all tests we got paid by a funding source in transit, and it can be contributions or leftover TDA. Those are really the only two things that we have. And
what were
those two? Sorry. Is the TDA funds, if there's any leftover, and contributions that came in. For this last fiscal year, there was one contribution, STPUD, who gave about $36,000, I believe, and we have about $700 for a bicycle rack that was donated. So we did have other contributions that wasn't cash. Very small, but
so curious, when Heavenly, for instance, was giving us that money and we were providing service here in the Nevada area, does that type of subsidy also help us show a larger service area to then go more after more federal money or no?
No. Not on the federal side for the formula dollars. The 5307 program is a formula that comes through the MPO based on a designated population. That's set.
Okay.
So if your service area grows, you've got to find other revenues to provide that. And on the, so that's to keep it simple, that's the case.
Okay.
And there's other rules you got to be careful about, charters and other things that are unallowable under MPA. So you just got to be aware of that stuff.
And I think what you're getting at is it was being subsidized. We were not getting enough money to pay for it, the service for us. That was
subsidy helps, but
it helped. Yeah.
Well, for, you know, just to try to keep the record straight here, when it came to the Heavenly Service, we could not keep providing what they wanted at that dollar value and what we were incurring also in terms of some accidents and things like that. So that's for the decision on our part. It's not that we didn't want to provide the service, but with what was being expected for the dollar amount, we couldn't continue providing.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that there couldn't be a working relationship if that's what Heavenly wanted to do and we wanted to talk about it. Yeah. And therefore, that becomes part of a measure that takes a step. That can still happen, but it's then going to be what's the service and so on. So.
Thank you. And time check here. How much time do we have for our
5 o'clock. We're going to be done at 5 o'clock
okay.
here.
Oh, yes, some of us are.
I think many of us are.
Right.
Just a quick question, just back on page 3, just to clarify. Please. So the total for fiscal year 20, the total cost of the transit operation, $5.4 million minus fare box, so just over $5 million. Is that correct?
That will allow us to be billed to the grant. Then on the other page, you'll see a reconciliation for the GL.
Yeah, there's
additional
costs
and expenses. Exactly. Okay. And yes, please note, there was fare box that year. So we had, $500,000 or so in fare box revenue.
Do you remember offhand what the CARES thing gave us?
It's a little over $5 million that needs to be split between operations, that means admin and ops, and PM. And it's 20% of the total goes to the PM or capital.
Cool.
Normal allocations of 25% under the 5307 part for PM capital. So it's a little bit less.
And that has bought us some time when we had a couple months ago this 5-year look. That was how we could look at 5 years out. That's what those differences dollars made, because our expenses keep going up and the revenues aren't. You're a businessman. You know how that works.
Oh, yeah.
So then the next page on 6, or 5 rather, we had talked about it. I'm not sure if everyone looked at it, but it breaks down positions by what funds are paying for it and the total together. Yes, it would be ideal if all those admins could go into the general fund and come out of every other fund. I hope someday that's where it's at. So that's the funding map, and it shows. I hope, you know, the numbers will be a little bit different, but the premises will be the same as we move forward through 21.
I have a question about that, comment about having these administrative positions come out of the general fund totally.
Mm-hmm.
So would that open up funds, I guess, elsewhere, or are we not able to charge those funds for specific grants?
Well, you won't get reimbursed for that out of the grants, right, because you're not going to have the expense to bring it into the general fund as far as the transit grants go and so on and so forth. But that allows for more money to be spent within the program itself. You know.
Within the transportation.
Yes.
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 So exactly.
Yes.
So. And some of the other board, you know, this board's talked about, so it passed, and so we as a staff. You know, the idea of building depth in your bench, the idea of succession.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's how you get that. Trying to do it this way, this is why we don't have that. This is what the struggle's been.
I appreciate that. One follow-up question to that. So maybe I'm having a little bit of a hard time grasping, like, when there is money that can be reimbursed,
mm-hmm.
and when there could be money that for consideration to use for a different purpose.
Different purposes, contributions, and TDA, as long as it's within transit ops, it can't be used inside of, like, general funds. So there's guidelines within there, but they're a little bit more flexible than FTA. The only thing that is totally discretionary are contributions.
Okay.
If you don't incur the expense, you don't get the reimbursement from FTA, and so on and so forth.
It's very much like the capital side with those grants. It's all very specific, eligible rules, what's eligible expenditures, what's not, and this is what you got to learn really well in order to kind of live by it.
Yeah, I know in my old school days, school budget days, we had reserves, and we had general energy funds, and you know, it really brought it to the state when you really realized how little you had expense discretionary.
So a lot of this within here really, there's not a lot of room to move things around, free stuff up.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the bottom line is.
Right.
That's been our, you know, handcuffed, if you will, in that way. We don't have that kind of flexibility that maybe other organizations do because we don't have these other funding sources. Another illustration of that is kind of using the regional revenue and this consensus aspect. That $20 million floor that TRPA has and the RTP is a target. You know, there's no general fund money in there for TPD. That's all related to specific projects and specific operations, just like these other funding sources I'm talking about. So those are other things to be aware of as we contemplate and look at that when it comes to this organization. Maybe others. I don't know about any others, but I know at least for TPD.
Just another clarifying question. On this page, when I see the PS and the GFA, what do those stand for?
PS and parking systems is a fiscal year 20. We just mistaken. We didn't have staff on that. The meters didn't really go on until July. This fiscal year, or I should say 21. Still kind of ordering the two in on an everyday basis. So that's why you won't see any there. The GFA is for, it's a reconciliation item in the governmental fund, which is the general fund and the CIP fund. In the financials, those two funds are combined under there, and then the reconciliation means that we owe that for employees, vacation, and so on and so forth. Time off.
Right.
So it's captured under that GFA fund as a reconciliation item on the financial statement.
But the funding source for that comes from the GFA.
Yes.
And then on the parking system, apologies if I missed this in previous discussions of the parking program, but none of that parking money that comes in, even if it comes in, you know, above what we expected, which I thought that's where we were at right now, none of that becomes unrestricted in any way?
Yes, there is, yes.
Okay.
Total parking revenue, whether it's from operations, the meter collection, or from non-compliance tickets payments, 10% of that comes in to the admin fees of the general fund. Last year, we didn't have any revenue, so there wasn't anything, and it wasn't really indicated. Admin fees really came from project budgets, okay? This year, you will see that we have admin fees, admin revenues, and the general fund that results from parking systems, 10% off the total revenues. That's what the corridor agreed to.
Right.
So
right now, I mean, this is what has been set up to be able to help pay for the maintenance of that trail and parking system, and not so much of, you know, being a source of revenue for TPD now. Our staff time, expenses, things like that, yes. That's really the primary purpose of what that was set up for, and where we work with the partnership on that.
Yes. So, yes, if there's revenue there, and there will be, we came out there that we received more in than expended this current in 21. That stays within that fund that is really directed by the corridor management decisions on how to spend that money, mainly repairs and maintenance for capital improvement.
Okay. But that's just something for us to keep in mind in terms of, you know, potential funding strategies, is that, you know, parking could be a source of unrestricted funding. Obviously, the cost associated with parking, but, you know, it's already doing better than we expected.
Well, we've looked at some very creative ideas in the past, believe me, being as a special district. And like we were looking even at the ferry, it's like you're talking about being ferry-oriented development at those points of, and there are some programs that we're actively promoting that you get into some business aspects there, so you are getting return on some of those expenditures. So we've looked at some of these types of things in the past. Attention.
And it will never cover the cost of the maintenance costs associated with that trail. It will never exceed that dollar value. There will always be additional cost to that maintenance of that trail.
I'm sorry, that sounds completely opposite from what I just heard. So we don't get a 10%?
No.
What she's talking about is cumulative amount of those collections for paid parking will not entirely offset the cost of maintaining that trail and parking.
Okay,
there will need to be additional dollars. It will be a revenue source that helps do that, but it won't cover it all unless we really increase some rates.
But we have other funding sources that are also helping with the maintenance on that trail.
This is where the local jurisdictions come into play. So this is where the agreements with Washoe County, Douglas County, state parks, in terms of, you know, relying on them for some expenditures. And so this collection is to help that, because that's usually the thing that's in the shortest supply, is enough O&M dollars for your capital assets.
So the understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is like four buckets. PDD's direct cost gets paid first. We get reimbursed first on those revenues. Second one then is for any cost for maintenance of that parking lot, right? So that's Washoe County and State Parks. And then third is capital improvements in the corridor and what they decide on as a group of where to invest that money on. And then fourth, transit. So those are the four buckets that would be available for that fund source. It's not our, I don't look at it as it's our money. It's more along the lines that we're the gatekeeper to watching that and making sure everything's, you know, if you're going to invoice me, I need all the backup so I can receive and all that kind of stuff. So that's how that works.
Okay,
answer?
All right, any other questions?
Or
how are we doing now?
I'm done with mine. I just want to say that if you want actual mapping of the account numbers that I provided in the schedule to the actual financial statements, I did work that up too. Just give me a holler and I'll throw it over. Otherwise, I figured that was just way too much information.
That was great. That was a lot of information. It was really great. I'm going to turn it over and ask if there's any public comments. Okay. Any public comments? Any people online? Okay.
Can I just say, I mean, it bothers me so much I have to address this. I've worked for this organization for a very long time. I've worked very hard and take great pride in my work, my team's work, the management's work, the operator's work. And when I hear that there's such disrespect for it, it really bothers me. So just be a little bit more aware that your words do matter. Okay?
Thanks, Joey. And I will say, I texted for the entire board, but I will say that we do respect your work.
Thank
and
you.
We understand. And when we ask questions, a lot of times students just don't understand.
No, and I welcome them. I always welcome them. And I love sharing them. I really do.
Give
a holler if you have any questions.
This is the first time we've ever had this education.
Yeah.
Even not as a board member, but I've been coming to meetings for years. So.
Okay.
I think giving this foundation is very helpful.
Yes, and I remember Sue, when you came on board, you made time to meet with me and we went over
and just stepping in on
that. I also would say just, you know, my words are never pointed absolutely to not to an individual, and as I pointed out today, I don't put it as to an individual. I think there's structural issues around the way things are breaking apart, and that doesn't fall on you. Not if anybody called, to be straightforward, but I just want to put that out there that, again, I think what's going on here is about structure and about our job as a board to find the right solution. So,
and I'm hoping that these kinds of things give you more confidence in what we do and how we do it and can answer your questions that, no, just because you see a dollar on a grant doesn't mean you can put it somewhere.
Right.
No, you might be able to. But
they're very helpful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. And so we did have public, and so now we're down the last 15 minutes, I think, right?
Now, last thing, and I don't know if you want to talk about the project list matrix at all, but it's there.
Yep.
And if you've got any questions, concerns about it, let me know.
Okay.
You know, email me the like,
okay.
We'll go from there.
Yeah. I think before we conclude, the bulk of this was extremely helpful. I think we had to go through this to get any sort of substantial conversation. But my understanding, the bulk of this retreat was to go through what the staff thought was a priority, so it can inform our work planning session. So I just want to make sure that's not lost in the
night. No, actually, this was the last 15 minutes we're going to talk about priorities, I believe, but maybe that was, we're talking about what we're going to go in September and all that. You want to try to review this?
Well, this list reflects a lot of what we discussed last week relevant to the maps. This is not looking back as much as what is still here and what's in the work program, and some of these reflect some dollars that have been now programmed or awarded, particularly near the bottom when we're looking at the acquisition, the mobility site assessment, the bus yard assessment, which I didn't fail to change the name for what George wanted it to be, and so on. So this is what we have dollars for and are in the work program. So we'd be happy to discuss this, and figuring it's there for the discussion next month of when some of the things that you guys came up with last meeting. You know, so if we're going to add, if we're going to change, so on, then what does that mean? So to the point here about this, what this exercise has been exactly for, is that kind of preparation, which is why we don't have Kaylin here today, so that we can kind of walk through this and save him for the heavier lift.
Right, for the bigger lift. Yeah, and I don't see this on here as really the priority setting per se. I do think that that's going to be Kaylin's job, is to help us kind of walk through that. But that being said, you were asking us to talk about September, where we needed to go at our next meeting, which I think is a part of prioritizing where our board feels we should go now that we have this
right.
information. And I think with that, we were talking about these subcommittees, and to me, I think that is the key, is moving forward with subcommittees, get that the really grunt work going so that we're not having these big general overview meetings and then not understanding where our priorities possibly could go. We're spending more time on just doing a review, which was good, but I think it's time we start talking about our subcommittees. So with that, any comments anybody want to talk about? Anything in particular before we, as we're talking about moving into September, any priorities in particular?
My only thought is just, as I brought up earlier, and I think it is a financial committee or subcommittee type task, but this whole idea around the administrative tasks of TTD and how they're only coming out of the South Shore portion of transit funding. I know that's a really difficult conversation. It probably may be good starting with the subcommittee, but it is kind of a broader, it's a dynamic conversation. So I feel like possibly there's some staff time that needs to happen before September, but I think it needs to, we need to have that discussion, I think.
Well, is the financial committee willing and able to meet and kind of go over this, figure out some of the questions we had, which was one of the questions, is can we kind of pinpoint where some of the funding is coming from in a clearer manner and bring it back to the school board? Kevin was on the committee's
probably. You're looking at two of them.
Okay.
And Alexis.
Okay. Alexis, is she still there? Alexis?
I'm here.
Oh, good.
I'm here.
So I was just giving you some work for their next meeting. You and Dorothy to come back to the board, the full board, with possibly some of the clarifications on what we've had today. There were three or four points, probably, financially. One of them was to take a look at the specific South Shore funding.
It's the South Shore funding, but it's the administrative cost that we point towards transit, and then how that, directly just coming out of South Shore Transit, and again, this is dynamic because it's supporting South Shore Transit at the same time and doesn't support a lot of North Shore because Placer County supports it. So it's hard to, but I think it needs to happen because that's a big point when you look at the amount of money. It's a lot of money coming out of South Shore funding, and when we look at, we do have these major shortfalls in the transit operations on the South Shore, and again, these are discussions we need to have.
Yeah. So, like this
actually, I look forward to tackling it.
Okay, good.
And again, recognizing that the only transit we're doing right now at TTD is South Shore Transit.
Exactly. It could be different in the future, and it has been different in the past, which
I get. Yeah, and I get that, absolutely. And that's why it's dynamic, and there's like a lot of breaking parts to it. So, yeah.
So, with that, I think we're going to have to figure out agenda planning for y'all. That's the ones that are on here, is who sets the agenda, can get two of those. Get together, Alexis and Dorothy, get together, and who else is on this?
Me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at it. So if you can all get together and figure out some agenda items and bring them to figure that out.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, because that's what this three is, public noticing with your agenda and assigning
clarity. The committee's talking and working. We're staffing something. What are we doing? I'm lost.
Okay, so we were trying to figure out the subcommittee organization, and that was a part of our process here that's on our agenda. The middle part on number one was asking the roles of subcommittee beyond planning, what support.
Yeah, from the notes from last.
Yeah, I have the board retreat for the agenda item for today. Number one questions were what supports necessary.
Got it.
Okay. So with that, again, figuring out your agenda and figuring out your process and things like that. I think that's important there. Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, that's just for the finance committee, but I think this question is a little broader that Carl.
It is. Sorry. Why not easy? Because it's money, but it's structurally not easy. Yes.
It's set the tone.
Right. And staff already provides us the truth.
I was going to say, we're
going to see the
white
numbers.
You're going to need staff help for financials, obviously. So.
I'm not sure we can answer that question until we kind of have a work plan. I'm not sure what the intention was between now and the next meeting, but Carl, I might venture to say that subcommittee work will happen until after the next meeting. I don't know if that was what was intended or not.
I think so. I mean, this is kind of part of the outstanding questions. Like, all right, you guys have broken into three different groups. But finance committee aside,
right.
You know, we've organized this facilitation and you've broken into three different groups. So an open question is that going to persist when we're done with this facilitation? I think that's part of what this is getting to.
I'm assuming so.
And that's part of what needs to be discussed the next time. We need to land on where is that going.
Okay.
Then, you know, then we need to talk about, well, how's that going to get done? When is that going to get done? You know, those are the things that I'm not seeing so much as to get answered today, as much as that's, these are the kinds of questions that need to be answered by the next time we're done.
The only thing I could say, and maybe Caitlin has a better idea of this, is if there's any work between now and the next retreat that the subcommittees want to come with a more fine-tuned list of priorities.
Relevant to a work plan type of thing?
Yeah, that would make the next one more efficient.
Yeah, because the way I'm seeing it right now is there's the list that kind of came out of the last discussion,
mm-hmm.
and then there's this list.
Yeah, how
so,
do they reconcile?
You know, how do they, how are they compatible? I mean, I think even us as a staff can take a crack at that.
Well, are there things that as a board we want to cut out of here right away to make it simpler? We're all here right now. Are there things here that we see that...
I would say we wait on that because we have 4 minutes left.
Okay.
Right.
And it might be good to also have...
To study this.
And have the one piece of information I think that's lacking from this is crosswalking it with the regional transportation plan priority list.
Yeah, that would be hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'd like to see how money spent to date would be enough. I said that earlier. I just want to reiterate it. Mm-hmm. Money spent to date on projects.
And then I would be willing with my committee to try and coordinate. I don't know if that's changed, if we have to notice a meeting.
As long as you don't have over a quorum.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right now, what we've been doing this facilitation, I'll look to the counselor here, is it's ad hoc. Our finance committee is formal.
Because the standing committee, definitely
under California law, I will say off the top of my head and answer that one, and likely under Nevada law as well. If the standing committee is subject to formal meeting requirements, meetings have to be agendized. But if you have ad hoc committees or, you know, informal gatherings,
great.
Less than a quorum.
That's very helpful because I would be happy to get together quickly with my subcommittee. I'm not a volunteer,
Capital.
So we could come up with a more refined list of priorities just to move along the next retreat.
Yep.
I don't know if the other committees want to do that, but at least that would be helpful.
Well, again, I think finance is obviously where we're landing on is most critical at this point. So perhaps you can come back with something and we'll work from there. And then we can have Kayla help us move through the rest of this. So I was just looking at today's agenda item and we're pretty much done.
We're done.
I think we're bringing into a pumpkin. That's what I'm saying. I'm turning to a pumpkin here. So I'm thinking we come back and have Caleb help us with that. Is there any other comments from the board members?
I've got one more
logistics
thing here to talk about then. So if the ad hoc is going to do anything like that, and we're going to have product that needs to go into the packet, then that needs to be done. Where am I?
2 weeks.
September 1 will be our next meeting, which means the target for the packet to be out the door is the 25th
mm-hmm.
of August, which means that it's really talking about, you know, ideally by the 20th, then we've got, because that's when we've got to get all this stuff together.
Are we able to do it at the tram or no?
A what?
Up the tram? Are we going to try that? Was that a thing?
Yeah.
Well, give it a, our remote connection was an issue. Because we were more likely going to have to use cell phones.
All right, any more comments, questions? Public comment, any public comment on this item? We'll adjourn. Okay, so with that, we're going to adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you all, and we'll see you in September.
Sounds like a title song.
Actually, you just sit down with all the oh, that's really hard.
They're all being that's money. I guess the money already has their pockets.
Yeah.